Hi, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to Galactic Roundtable, and I welcome Tara, Rama, and Marita today. Hi.
Greetings, okay. Commanders.
Greetings, everybody. More snow.
More snow in the Southwest. Springtime in the Rockies, as it is called.
Oh, boy.
We have 54 degrees here. I was just looking it up.
Oh, my God.
54 and sunny, so everybody is outside right now. Okay, everybody, I want to talk about the hard news, and then I want to talk about us being galactic members of a galactic society, and after that, we'll do some more learning and teaching.
Yeah, I got this Sister Mira looking me in the face.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a prettier version of Mother Sekhmet, yet I will just say it is what's being said out there.
Wait a minute. What would Mother Sekhmet say to that? A prettier version of Mother Sekhmet.
It's a more human version, this picture.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's not a prettier version of Rama. It's different.
Yeah.
It's something that's more common.
It's human and it's sexy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've seen it. It's nice.
It is a way in which people can relate to Mother, where she isn't this bloodthirsty lion lady. Although she is a warrior goddess, and I'll shut up and you can go on, Beth.
Well, the point of that is that the ones who should be afraid of Mother Sekhmet are afraid, but all the others, when you get into her presence, it's like being in the best love you ever felt in your whole life, and you just want to melt into it.
Yeah.
All the problems of the world go away there in her presence.
That is true.
I think we should talk about some hard news, Rama.
Okay. It's called Money-Driven Medicine. And I heard on NPR this morning, they were talking about this whole drama with healthcare and that Mr. Obama is postponing his trip to Asia because he is going to see this made manifest, and we are going to have health care with a public option.
And we were just watching a special documentary about it on Link TV, and one of the things that came up in the clear message is that he said, in terms of the political stratosphere last year, had Barack Obama gone for the whole jugular. In other words, had he gone for having everyone covered at the very beginning. And he hit a very, very sore spot, and he said there has to be a reason why that didn't go. And it didn't go when he gave a few things here and a few things there either.
No.
And he said the reason is that it's a moral reason. And you cannot have profit-driven health care, which is a moral issue. And the reason is, he said you could even have the labs and the doctors private and paid, you know, for profit. Yet the services that are paid for by the people has to be completely non-profit. And on top of that, there has to be a moral ethic. And he said every country that I went to check out, and they don't have single payer, though there's many, many, many ways of handling it. He said the thing is that every country that I went to that had all these different ways of doing it, what they did is cover everyone, 100%. Everyone, the richest and the poorest, no profits. And he said there'll never be a change until that moral issue is addressed. And that's why healthcare for the last year and a half has been the issue before NASARA could be announced. Because our economy is a moral question when you don't take care of the health of the people.
Yeah, and I think you dropped off, Beth. I can't see you here.
Or did we?
No, I mean, I'm looking at me.
There we go. Well, I'll wait for her.
Sorry, I'm back.
Oh, okay.
Okay, did you miss everything I just said?
No.
No?
What? Okay. What I can say, what NPR is talking about, is the fact that I mean, they were coming right out and saying that this has to do with a bigger drama that has to do with the profit, and it's nothing to do with the health of the people. It is the CEOs, the insurance companies, the lobbyists, people like a corporation called IG Farben and Lilly and
Monsanto
and Raytheon.
Ooh.
Raytheon is building weapons along with medicine.
Again, God bless our sister Marita Robert, just about 30 miles south of her, outside of Indianapolis, is a stockpile of weapons of mass destruction. It's the largest stockpile on Earth. And it's right there in, is it Rand Corporation or Raytheon?
Raytheon. And
Under the ground.
And I do believe Ashtar has told me in no uncertain terms that he has taken care of these situations, so I have to hold him to that, as he has said.
I hope so.
And also, what
it, it also, Rama, includes the medical supply companies like SmithKline, because, you know, all of the disposable gloves, all of the masks, but what people don't know about are the machines that we use at the bedside. Wounds and for preventing DVT and every one of these machines has this disposable part that has to be unwrapped from plastic and put on clean and reused again and again and again, and the money making is unbelievable.
Right, and then it goes into the bio waste, and the bio waste gets shipped out to sea and then gets washed back up. It gets washed up on the shores, and our friends called the dolphins and the whales eat it, and they get sick and they die, and the fish, and it's a
Billy Dole wrote a song back in the early 90s about the hypodermics on the shore, because they were washing up on Long Island.
Yeah, and what is being said right now by all the whistleblowers, and I didn't get a chance to say this, but I got to talk to the poppy lady this morning.
Oh!
And the poppy lady told me, right now what is going on over in Afghanistan is that there are certain issues happening with the military where, let's just say, there are some folks at odds with each other within the branches of the military, where certain folks are quote-unquote going rogue, and I don't know if they're going rogue in the sense of joining with Sarah Palin and the teabaggers, or in, and I'm making a bad joke here. What I'm trying to say is that they are putting their guns down and saying, sir, no, sir, with all due respect, F you, sir, I am not going to fight for your war any longer.
That's the answer to everything. When we bring morality back to the table, please.
And
he's
these
limping,
are
just like the health care bill. They have to get a stretcher and get him to the table at the moment.
And these are Marines, like you know, taking a look at it, Jesse Ventura and some of these other guys in the Hurt Locker. Mm-hmm. These are folks that are just saying, I've had enough. I don't care about the $200,000 a year I'm getting, or something like, I don't know, $5,000 or $10,000 an hour.
Well, let's go to the health care again and say this. On 9/11 morning, what happened? What was the health care insurance companies doing? They were doing 9/11.
Yeah, they were.
And what was going on? They didn't tell anybody that they had nuclear half-life particulates called tritium in the atmosphere, which is still in the atmosphere at ground zero.
Mm-hmm.
And they put up a screen, you know, on the main media televisions. It looked like there was blue sky. It looked like there was blue sky. The sky was yellow, green, brown.
And there were chemtrails in it.
Not only that, they were covering up stuff. They were covering up the fact that there was radiation in that atmosphere. And that white smoke coming out from the bottom of the towers where the nukes went off, that wasn't the same color of the smoke as you get when you are detonating the demolition derby on the top.
Right,
with
right.
It's a completely different identity, and a scientist knows the difference.
They know what radiation looks like.
And the international scientists that gathered from all over the world that did do the study and investigate, they said this is what was in the air. This is how high the temperature was. It wasn't, you know, 1,100 degrees or something where you melt steel. It was 1,000,000 degrees. You do a lot more than melt steel.
And at that, this is why I have to say, to cut to the chase, Ashtar and Sananda and the forces of light have taken care of healing the issues around New York City, and it's continuing to this very second. And at the same time, it is all a cosmic dance, a cosmic royal dance, as we blend all the worlds. And I took a moment today to go to that spot where I call the ships in the middle of town, and the message I got was, steady as she goes. And what it's telling me is we are on the very edge, as the issue of healthcare is like in the forefront. Who is to say another issue may take up precedence, which is the issue of our galactic friends? There's a video floating around out there where a guy in Cleveland, Ohio, for 7 days witnessed the ships coming in, and he filmed it with his video camera, and David Schuster of MSNBC is interviewing him, and it's on MSNBC. And
it's on the galacticroundtable.com.
Right.
Who's interviewing who?
David Schuster from MSNBC is viewing this guy from Cleveland, Ohio, for 7 days, filmed the ships showing up over the lakes.
Oh, yes, and then on NBC, Bill was telling us last night that Tom Brokaw covered this story where these UFOs are befriending people on a consistent basis.
And this is why I have to say that they're dancing around this big wide opening called the Stargate.
Full disclosure, please.
The Stargate, the Gulf of Aden. And, you know, at the same time, I believe all the soldiers know about the Stargates, yet they are not at liberty to discuss it. And it is still in the realm where people dance around this issue. And Nibiru. And it's like Dr. Valentine said, Naboo, Nibiru. Think about what George Lucas put in that movie.
And
ain't no accident.
Who was Naboo in the movie?
Princess Amidala. Luke Skywalker's mother was from the planet Naboo.
Oh.
Yes.
Rama has seen these things, and he can, it's like he's got a photographic memory because he knows it's all there, and he's been to these places, everyone. One of us has been all over this galaxy and the other universes on a consistent basis from the age of his rite of passage, where he insisted when his parents said, are you going to become a good little Jewish doctor or not? And he said, no, I want to be a starship commander.
And they gave me my blessing, their blessing, and said, you must be about thy father's business. So I went to learn the ways of the Force from Suzuki Roshi and many other teachers, along with Ram Dass and Timothy Leary and Terrence McKenna and, oh
and the
my
Merry
God.
Pranksters, what was it?
Ken Kesey and the Merry Pranksters.
Tell people about them again.
This was a group of
Remember,
people.
There's a whole bunch of indigos on here that don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the folks of the 60s that all the legends and stories, I'm still here with four brain cells to talk about it. And I'm not kidding. I'm for real. I'm learning how to merge both hemispheres of the brain so that we could do two things at once and nothing at all.
And they did cause, I mean, this is an alliteration, yet, you know, flower child he was at 13 in 1967. And, you know, Martin Luther King was giving his talk on April 4th. 1967. It's interesting, everybody. April 4th is Easter this year. And that is on April 4th in 1967 at the Riverside Church, which is the most incredible place. Gandhi and Martin Luther King and Arundhati Roy and even that young boy that got paralyzed from head to toe that Senator Robert Byrd was talking to, and Phil Donahue helped make a film with this camera woman. What was the name of that? I forgot.
Oh, God. I can't remember that one.
All I know is that he went to that Riverside Church, and he had to put his head down in the wheelchair between his legs and hang upside down about every 15 or 20 seconds. And he did it and got up there and told his story about when he learned what he learned about
the war
and that it wasn't what he thought it was, that he thought he was going there with his room classmates and everything to defend and protect the country from something called Al-Qaeda.
Right, the lies called
And
George
when he
Bush.
Found out, then he went up there and he told everybody at Riverside Church that he was, and he got together with Senator Byrd at Senator Byrd's office in Washington, D.C. as well. And Senator Byrd showed all the people who voted against the war in Congress to him and put it on a plaque.
And Hillary was one of them.
No.
No.
Hillary did not vote against the war. She voted for the war.
Yeah.
In every sentence structure of every... where did your brain cell go?
Oh, it took a leap. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yes, sure did.
Yeah.
Good thing Tar is there to keep you honest.
Yes.
With your head in the clouds and your feet on the ground.
It was a moment of dyslexia. That does occur.
You have control over that.
Yes.
No excuses, everyone. And
the person that has control wasn't listening. Tara, I don't mean to interrupt you or change the subject, but we have a caller on the line.
Oh, my heavenly days. Okay. Hello, hello.
Vanessa, line one.
You mentioned
Hi,
healthcare.
I can hear you.
Beth,
oh, I'm
Vanessa,
sorry.
We just started hearing you, so will you
come forward and start over.
How's that? Is that better?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. I have a couple questions since you mentioned health care, and I've been praying for peace about this, and it hasn't came yet. My first one is, I do believe that everybody deserves health care. My second question is, with the health care that they're proposing right now, we're going to pay for it with our taxes and everything now, and it's not going to take effect for, I guess, 5 years, 6 years down the road. So how is that in effect with NASARA?
Vanessa, the version that you are presenting at this moment is a lie that someone put out in the news and out in the emails, and it's not true that it won't take effect immediately.
Well, it won't take effect immediately in the terms of way things are going, as if it's appearing that something else isn't going on at the same time. And remember, they're pushing 9/11 right in everybody's faces. We are going to get universal health care where every alternative health care professional can be our choice, and it will be free. And I am
so
not
kidding.
How do we
pay for it?
NASARA gets announced.
Wait for a minute. I want to say something. The fake news is telling us that we're going to take this out of our taxes. And, you know, that might be true, but the part they're not telling us is go sit in the emergency room of a large hospital on a Sunday morning and see what you see. And look and see who's sitting there with a broken arm, and they're not getting seen for 4 hours, and why is that? And then go inside the ER and watch what they do in there and how much those tests cost and how much they're double testing people so they don't get a malpractice insurance lawsuit against them. And go into the idea of waste, and this is a much I brought this out in the 7.5-hour summit, which I watched and listened to the whole time. And it's a much more complex issue, but the fake news is saying, we're going to pay for this with our taxes. And it's such a simplification that it's not even worth talking about in those terms.
Excuse me, I don't want to intervene, but I think I do. Number one. The tax issue is a non-issue.
That's right.
And the facts of the matter is that there will be no more taxation at all, and the only tax will be on brand new items.
Under NASARA.
You will not pay a tax for your food. You will not pay an excise tax or import tax or property tax, zero taxes. Only tax that will be given is for you as you choose to build a brand new house. Then you will pay taxes on a brand new item called a brand new house.
And I need to interject here. If you want to be upset about taxes, I understand that, but be upset that your taxes are being used to fund Abu Ghraib, where people are being tortured. Children and women are being tortured. Be upset about taxes for the right reasons, not because people are going to get universal coverage with those taxes.
I'm not upset about universal health coverage. It's just that from the appearance-wise, every country that has had supposedly this free universal health coverage, they come to the United States when they have the major surgeries and everything because of our health care being so good. Countries right now are bankrupt. So
Vanessa, can I ask you,
is that going to change everything?
Vanessa, I was wondering, have you seen Michael Moore's movie called Sicko?
I've seen some of his stuff. I didn't see that, and I understand.
Everybody listening, if you have not rented Michael Moore's movie Sicko, we are not talking on the same playing field, and it's your human responsibility as an American citizen to see that movie. And Vanessa, I'm not criticizing you. I just want to say that the reason why the European countries are bankrupt right now has nothing to do with them having universal health care. It has to do with the fact that the money has been electronically transferred by King of Swords men in St. Germain's Bank for the purpose of funding the SARA.
In other words, you're asking a question. We're getting an echo.
You're late.
Yeah, I hear that.
Hello. Still got an echo. Commander, can you help? Calling all angels. We've got a squeak.
Amazing.
We need to help the phone line. We're waiting. Let's see now. No. What's happening?
You've got an echo, Tara. Yeah, we accidentally muted Vanessa. Hold on there, Vanessa. We're still with you.
Until we figured this out.
We're just waiting for the electronics to come up to par with where we are.
Yeah, I understand things are a bit wonky because we are who we are as gods.
That's right.
We're causing this.
I just want to say that Vanessa's question, you know, Pisces is playing games with everybody right now. And you understand that what's going on is affecting us in a very, very strong way because Uranus is dancing on everybody's sun.
Yep.
And Uranus means number seven. We're talking about a 777 process that we're working with, the law of seven with, on terms of the financial aspect, becoming healthy. And that means that when you are going to have a healthy financial circumstance, you remove yourself from the competitive market field and you join a cooperation, not a corporation. And we're learning how the redefining of our ethics and our moral economic principles will change, and the answer to the question is solved across the board. One must have a healthy, principled life in our economics. One must have a healthy, principled life actually in eight different areas. And that's what the World Symposium on Humanity addressed. Politics, science, religion, health, education, welfare, economics, and agriculture. Those are the eightfold path must be healed by beginning again with the principle of light, love, peace, justice, wisdom. Okay, in the proper order. Love, and that it always goes back to love. Love with truth, knowledge thereof, past, present, future, with peace within and without one's being, with freedom, and only then. Those are four steps. You don't have any freedom whatsoever. You have limits in the first three worlds. And this is the crystal kingdom is the governing principle in these first three worlds. And we shattered all the crystals. We shattered them.
With our energies.
With our energies in Atlantis.
That were not coming from a balanced place because we bought the fear.
And that went into the DNA, everyone. It went into the DNA. And therefore, that ethic principle got pretty lost. What did the dark priesthoods do? They programmed the 12th strand of DNA out of themselves first and foremost. How did they do that? Before they ever got to Earth, they did that. They did that before they got to Earth. And where were they? They were in the Orion War.
Yeah.
And when they got down to Earth in the Orion War, we got to war with our brothers and sisters who got here with us that were doing that. And what we mean by we is the goodly company.
We the people.
And literally, we managed to, just about with the help of Ramtha, Ramtha just about single-handedly won back the land for the people in Atlantis.
Yeah.
And the thing that he ran on was a correction course. He was enraged as a child, as he was born to a mother that was not from Atlantis. She was Lemurian, and she followed the path of the ancient wisdom of the mother. And the father raped her as a soldier. And then the father came back later for the child and killed the mother. And the child went to the best of schools. And then the child was ready to go to war for the Atlantean royals, who were now, their children had been the result of their weakness in terms of the war, and weakness for money, weakness for staying in the royal courts, nepotism.
Mm-hmm.
And in the original story, in the original creation story, in the round table, in antimatter, we sat with Mother and asked to do this experiment where we could directly experience our gifts and remember how to love while we were using those gifts. And what occurred is excess. It was like in the royal courts, the opulence, it's that old saying, it's harder for a rich man to get to the kingdom than it is for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle. Mm-hmm. And camels are notorious for really nasty habits. And they do spit on you. And they spit with a vengeance.
And they bite.
And they bite.
And it's because of the energies of, in a sense, how the different kingdoms have misrespected each other.
Well, see, the camel also is of the desert,
yeah.
And there were no deserts. There were zero, none deserts. Deserts were caused by nuclear war time.
Right.
Over and over and over again on the surface. Fifth dimensional nuclear war games. That wasn't the first time in 1945. That was the last. In other words, they structured the Declaration of Independence structured our whole society for continued slavery, for denial, and for not only denial, but laying on top of denial a false program. And I mean forgetfulness. The veil of forgetfulness was our our demise. And I mean collectively, because even to this last moment, where is the peacemakers? Where is that active principle, tag your it, movement politics, in spite of what's going on? I know that Indigo Children, it is, and I want to say this to Beth, because Beth has demonstrated something for everyone that is rare, and that is that she is demonstrating a cosmic conscious remembrance of the past, in the present, and in the present remembrance of the past. She remembered it between, I can't even say between lifetimes. I can. I'll just say that in this life stream of her presence with us, she volunteered to save the life of another woman and get access to her history and work with everything, although a different soul is in there. What that means is that the soul, essence of the body, had already died and left the body. In other words, the incurrence of a violent beating process that was going on for 4 years, at this point in time, by choice and by suffering, the soul said, I can't take this anymore. I'm leaving. And so there was an agreement, and the soul that is Beth came and revived the body, and the record of the emotions, and she also volunteered to take on the personality. In other words, the personality stayed behind.
Yeah.
Yet there is a new angel soul in there, enlivening, and working with that existing personality, including the trauma, and experiencing it. When you're not in the body, you are witnessing it. When you are in the body, you're experiencing it. And that is a distinction. And so the record of her soul has, in a way, merged with the personality as well as the physicality. And the first time it was done, we must be more correct. I guess the physical presence of your spirit has been in that form coming on 7 years now, right? 6.5 or something.
That's right.
Okay. So we are walking through an age of reason coming up here in terms of the personality still and yet of which is, you know, the personality that was there before. There was a trauma that goes back in time, and that trauma of choosing to come into an abusive relationship didn't start when she chose to come into the abusive relationship. It started lifetimes ago. And so Beth has some memories about where not resolving those traumas resulted in more pain than the human race was really. What really happened, and Beth, you might remember this because Beth came from the 24th century to do this.
Yeah.
That's, and this is very out. Now, what to do what? There's something, so we got to back up the truck. We're backing up the truck, yet when we back up the truck in terms of the timeline now, and go back to 1933, December 3rd.
Let me say two things, Tara.
Yes.
Whether it's my personality self or my soul self, I can remember four lifetimes since 1933. And the other thing I want to say is when you're explaining this, I just invite the listener to think of this on a multidimensional level. This is not a linear explanation. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, now wait a minute, Beth. Now, did you say that you have had four lifetimes between 1933 and now?
As far as I can remember, yeah.
Well, oh my goodness, you must have come and left early in a number of those lifetimes. You didn't live very long.
I was about 20 years old when I left a lifetime where I was in Vietnam as a soldier.
Yeah.
You were killed?
Yes.
Okay.
I was shot in the leg.
You were shot in the leg, yet you bled to death on the field because nobody was able to help you.
I didn't move a muscle. I didn't want anyone to find me. I didn't want to get help. I just wanted to experience the war so I would know what the veterans are talking about now.
Oh, my God.
So I could relate to people like King of Swords and Jesse Ventura. I wanted that memory.
Okay, now this is a big one. Because the child that was dying from a bullet wound on the field, you had at some point in that, I don't know if you remember the dates, between 1933, so you were in World War II.
When I died that time, it was 1961.
Oh, how interesting. Now, look at what you did. You experienced growing up. Do you remember how old you were?
I don't know. I was young. I had to be around 20, and I was an Indiana farmer. And I was married, and I had a son.
And you, the farmer father, left your wife and your pregnant wife and went to fight in Vietnam, and then the child was born when you were out in the field there?
No, the child was a toddler. I don't know. The child was a toddler at the time I died, 3 or 4 years old.
I'm just saying that means that you had that child when you were 16 and you were married and all that stuff.
I absolutely remember all of it like picture-perfect memory.
Imagine all of that responsibility and going and taking the responsibility for your very life force being taken on the field. Now, that is an extraordinary service.
The reason this farmer decided to leave is because when he got there, he was being asked to kill farmers and their wives and their children, and he didn't get that. He didn't think that was cool to stay around and keep doing that.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
The Indiana farm boy got over there, and they were killing farmers and their wives and their children.
Oh.
And he didn't want to get up from that to go back to do that because it didn't make any sense. Nobody told him that's what they would be doing.
In other words, he knew that it would, they would just be using you.
Yeah.
You knew that they would just be using you.
Mm-hmm.
For more death. And
right.
So you decided just to leave.
They came around to check the bodies that were down, and I closed my eyes, and I didn't move a muscle. And I just bled and bled and bled.
Wow. 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 Okay, so now that you told us that, so you can see something here. This is what the Goodly Company has been doing. We have been volunteering to walk in and merge with other soul embodiments. And that's a difference between walking in and taking on another soul's embodiment because the other soul decided to leave. Those two things are unique. In the case of the one that Beth is in as a spirit now, there was an exchange of that energy, a complete leaving mm-hmm. and another entering. In the case of the boy, Beth volunteered, and that means someone who was her mother volunteered to bring this child's wish through. And so from spirit, Beth was making a wish that she could come and be someone's child. And a mother or a mother or a woman
mm-hmm.
said yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that woman, when you realize all time is present, this is what we're collecting now. That woman who decided to say yes, her mother decided to say yes so she could do that. Now, this is showing how progressiveness of the possibility of the plurality could reach a level of consciousness where solutions would not be done in frustration and anger and negative emotion, and that we would gain control of those emotions in a lifetime together, collectively, no matter how horrible the trauma. And collectively remember all the trauma of every lifetime collectively that was ever lived of the one of us, and take full responsibility for that. And heal the entire experiment, every thought that went and experimented in any direction. And come to the table of the promised land and come promise. Come together and promise and fulfill that promise that Rama took up there and scanned in. Did you scan it in? Did you bring it back?
No, I still have to do it.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well, Tara, there's more of this that I want to talk about.
All right. Well, I think we're on some good subject matter. You know this, I love this Sunday call because we really get down and dirty. Thank you, Lady Nastor. Pass the
talk. Thank you. I know that sometimes I sound impatient and I say, you know, very quick answers like, well, one reason you don't understand it is because you haven't watched Michael Moore's movie yet, or you know, well, if you believe that explanation, you're only watching CNN. And my impatience stems from remembering what it's like to be a soldier in Vietnam, remembering what it's like to be tortured, remembering what it's like to watch children who know what torture is. And I get impatient because I want us to get it on this planet. I want us to come back to love. And one thing that we don't say enough, Tara was explaining about coming back to love and wisdom. And I don't know how to explain, but you guys know when the reason I'm so turned on by the Avatar movie is because Jake Sully closed his eyes. He went into his link, which looked like a machine, and he closed his eyes, and he was on another place. He was at Pandora.
That was if you remember what that looked like, he was focusing on the third eye. The third eye is a stargate.
There you go.
And he went through that tunnel of that stargate.
That's right.
And we can read about the Babylon stargate. I would love to read that piece, if that's something we could look at, because we're learning about peacemaking now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're children. We're definitely children. And the wound has really come deep. And we asked for it. We said we want to go to the deepest depths of our soul and not leave one stone unturned. That's what we all said when we came into this lifetime together.
I want to bring forward the full picture. And so, you know, when I sit in the easy chair in the living room and I close my eyes, I don't have to do anything. 30 seconds later, I go through the heart, through the third eye, through that stargate in my body, and I can be on other planets. And all of the narratives I've brought back from my travels, you know, the meetings with the councils on the other planets and, you know, what all the other planets look like, that's because I'm able to close my eyes, go out of body. I can travel through the Stargate at the Antares Midway Station. I can come up on the planet Arcturus, and it's three blue moons. I see everything. I'm only just in that Merkaba body. I'm not in any kind of a ship. And I can travel in my body through the stars. All of those videos that you see on NASA film footage and all those photos, I go out of body and I see those things just like that. And the thing that I get frustrated about and I lose my patience about is that more people don't remember they can do that, because I'm not special and I just know that everyone can do that, and we're in the process of remembering. And that's what I want to remind everybody. And I know, because I remember, I've taken people in their dream time. I've taken them out of their bodies and joined them in their dream time when they're sleeping, and they don't remember. Some of them think it's a dream. Some of them wake up and remember, and some don't remember at all that I've taken them to the Antares Midway Station, taken them through to the next Stargate, through there, through over to Arcturus, and we've traveled together and seen all these things. And I think some of the ones I've taken are listening now. And so when I walked into this body, part of my mission was to forget everything so that I could wake up in front of your eyes and we could talk about it together. And part of it is that I have abilities and memories that are full on. You know, Rama talks about living in two worlds at once. I know beyond a doubt that I am projecting my physicality in multidimensional ways, and that I have a whole nother life on Venus with a house and a husband and children, that I'm living that life at the same time that I'm living this life, and that I'm in both of those places all the time. And I can remember all of that. And the reason I'm sharing it is because it's true for you too. You just don't remember yet. And the only thing that's going to work is if we have to remember all these atrocities so that we can transmute them and love them and go into no time, where we remember how to be multidimensional. So that's why I'm going to bring you the hard news. I'm going to put on the Galactic Roundtable about the torturing, and we're going to keep talking about all these things, not only what's happening on Earth, but intergalactically as well, because as we continue to review, let me give you an example. If you take 2 hours out of your day and you sit on YouTube and you watch videos, 2 minutes to 10 minute interviews with George Bush, it's not hard to see that he has been drugged and drunk and handled. And when you look at it from that point of view, then there's this compassion that comes in. And then if you do the same thing and you look at 9/11 conspiracy tapes and you look at the videotapes that New Yorkers made on that day when they walked into the street, you realize those were missiles going into those buildings. And if you look at the torture pictures enough times and you listen to the news from Baghdad enough times, you become, your insensitivity lessens and you become more compassionate and you have more capacity to love. And it comes to a moment where we just need to get over it and move on. We need to hear it, bring it into our hearts, love, praise, respect, and thank it, and then let it go, because we have a lot more fun to have.
I hate to interrupt, Beth. We got a caller.
Okay, cool.
Alan from Oakland, California, line one.
Hi, Tara, Rama, and Beth. Thank you for taking the call.
Greetings.
Hi, Alan.
Hi, you guys. Hey, I heard your conversation a while ago, and I thought I'd call before it kind of ran away about your walking experience and whatnot. And Rama, I think Earth years, you're kind of like maybe just a year or less older than me. I remember when I was a kid, in Hawaii days. It wasn't even PBS. It was called Educational TV. There was Tim Leary in the Lotus position on acid.
That's right.
Anyway, I was a space cowboy, too, and I kind of really started all that psychedelic thing when I was about 14. But anyway, in regards to what Beth was talking about, in December 2005, I went to Reno and I laid down. I just got exhausted. I took a cocktail, and one of it was a massive amount of heart medication because I started developing a heart problem. I went down for 36 hours, and when I woke up, I didn't need the heart medication anymore. And I went on a rampage over here coming back to Oakland, just stirring things up, and I've been protected by some awesome forces. I mean, there was an incident where before trouble even came, the backup was there waiting for it. And it was right in downtown, and there have been many instances. And that's just pretty awesome. But it... You know,
Alan,
like listening
Alan,
to you, Beth,
can
about
I,
this walk-in
experience.
Can I
ask you a question, Alan?
Yeah, go ahead.
On the day when you were down for 3 days, did you have a walk-in?
About 36 hours, yeah.
Oh. I was going to say, did you have a walk-in experience at that time?
You see, this is part of my question that, you know, I don't have the memories, and I still feel like I'm still the original me, but you said that when you had this walk-in thing, you retained the memories and the emotions and whatnot. But, you know, I've always been pretty much, quote-unquote, an ass-kicker since I was a little kid. And
well, let me share a little story, Alan, because there's more walk-ins out there who are in denial that they're walk-ins. And I can say that after I started receiving guidance regarding getting safe I was unconscious for 3 days. Within 3 weeks of my walk-in, I was getting clear guidance from the archangels on the steps to take to be safe. And but what I want to say is after I had walked in for 3 months, Archangel Metatron came to me and he said, he had me read this story about a walk-in, and then he said, he said to me, "You are a walk-in." And I said, "No, I'm not." And he very sternly said, "Yes, you are." And I received a lot of guidance telepathically from the archangels from the beginning, and that's how my memories came quickly. But as far as retaining my personality, when a person does a soul transfer the way I did, you are responsible for clearing the karma of the person you're walking into, clearing their emotional body, clearing their traumas, and walking everything back to love. So the reason I chose the experience the way I did is because in order for me to have compassion and be a teacher, I had to come into a tortured body. I had to come in as a single parent. I had to live a life where I was living hand to mouth. Otherwise, how can I speak to everyone that I understand how that is? And I think there may be more than one out there who sometimes wonder if maybe or not they're a walk-in. And my experience is that there are times when a higher aspect of your soul comes in. And then there are times when a person has a soul exchange and they're a walk-in. And there's a lot on the internet about that. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, Beth, it's just that, you know, I don't have the conscious awakened ability that you have to see and know what it is. For me, it's just been by pure intuition and, you know, just promptings and then seeing from, you know, what I can intuit or whatever, the physical around me and all the signs that are coming in deeper layers. It's not like I, you know, have that gift to see things, you know, in a way you can. So for me, it's been pretty much, in a sense, on the blind and just going with gut feel all along the way. But, you know, it hasn't stopped me, you know. I mean, I've been like this. Before, ever since I was a kid, but it just got really accelerated. So I'm just thinking, listening to all you guys and trying to gather things, you know, maybe I got a new contract, maybe I didn't, maybe I got an extension, but they sure, I used to use the saying when I came back, I got grabbed, they grabbed me, they healed me, and then they sent me into this world to go on a mission, you know?
Well, Alan, all I can add is parts of my story for an example.
Right, right, and it's helped me a lot.
Well, for an example, the first 2 years after I walked in, I refused to look in the mirror because it wasn't me. So, I literally didn't look in the mirror. I would wash my face, brush my teeth, comb my hair, and I didn't look in the mirror.
That reminds me of all the movies where people have shape-shifted and done all kinds of stuff, and it's like, and Dr. Valentine was talking about that yesterday in that series where after Neo takes the red pill and he goes to touch the mirror and the mirror comes in, you know, pulls away and, it, you know, he's looking at his finger and he becomes the mirror. And it's like that song, Michael Jackson, The Man in the Mirror, dealing with the animas, where you got to take a inaugural step into that non-ordinary reality, walk with death on your shoulder, and you find out what the other side is like. I think you had a walk-in, Alan. It's just out of the blue as I'm hearing y'all talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hearing, and take it or leave it, but it. And it is to help you integrate what's happening now as we approach 2012. 144,000 are showing up.
Can I ask you guys one last question, please?
You can,
okay,
but I have I have to interject something first, Alan.
Okay, go ahead, Beth.
With my heart, and I hope you'll hear me, and I hope everyone out there will hear me. People tell me all the time, you have gifts, you can hear things. I'm not unusual, and you all have those gifts. You have to sit still in silence and remember, and you have to call your helpers to help you bring them in, and you have them. It takes time and commitment to bring them back. And I'm just saying that lovingly, not criticizing, and I invite
everyone that's wonderful, Beth.
To spend
that's
the time to do
thing.
That. It takes time. Okay, go ahead, Alan.
Okay, I'd just like to make one last comment. I'll pass the talking stick. Okay, you know, whether it was a walk-in experience or whether I'm still the original soul, okay, in my circumstance, does it really matter? Because whether you're a walk-in or whether you're the original person, all the things that you're supposed to clear up and take care of, aren't you supposed to do that anyway, regardless?
That's true. And that is the kinds of conversations Rama has been having with President Carter. President Carter has been knowing for quite some many years that he was killed and cloned.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the reason that this is going on is so that we can really learn the whole scene that, you know, these beings that we know and love that appear to be gone, they're not gone.
Okay, so Carter's clone, is that his original soul or it's a walk-in soul that's in there?
No, don't get walk-ins mixed up with this. No.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's a different type of situation then.
It's the original soul. What they did is they killed the body. You know, whatever you call that, what that looks like is they destroyed the ability for the spirit, which is, and then these two words, spirit and soul. Spirit is a non-linear realm, which is
so
feminine.
Even if they cloned his body, the original soul that they killed went into the clone body?
You can't kill the soul. You can only kill
the
body.
Well, that's what I mean, so.
No, wait a second. That's what I was going to define here. There's one little spot. Let me say this to the finish line here.
those two words, soul and spirit. Soul does indeed have a physical location in the body.
Yeah.
And that physical location is what we are talking about as to where the spirit is anchored in physicality. And that is about 13 millimeters from the sternum in the left chamber where the heart is located.
Right.
And that is where on film, when you open heart surgery on film, there is a literal flame, physical flame, threefold flame, that is right there where
pink,
I need to find
it. Pink, blue, and yellow.
Pink, blue, and yellow, yes. And what we're talking about here is now a science. So the body, where you might say the soul was, literally exited from its anchor point when it was killed. And they took something, now this is really important because a flame, in terms of physicality, a flame is not non-physical, it's physical. Yet it has properties of other elements in a different way. I mean, that's the air. What is fire? Fire is,
part of the elements.
How do you define fire? You define it mathematically by the definition of the pyramid. In other words, mathematically, a flame that we call the threefold flame, it burns within a frequency, and that frequency is the highest frequency of love. It allows you to know that you have an anatomy whereby you can grasp who you are, because it's a physical merging point of non-physicality with physicality, and it's located substance-wise in that fire. That means you have the knowledge that you are a spiritual being, number one, in the 3D realms, having a human experience of those realms, and then redefining those realms as you bring in the spirituality of your being and anchor it collectively in a time of love and peace. And
well, I'd like to thank you folks. I'm going to get off the line and get on BBS. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but just thank you so much. I'll give somebody else a chance. And thank
nice
you.
Nice talking to you, Alan. I want to also finish answering Alan's question about, you know, does it matter if I was a walk-in or if I'm the same one and I've had higher aspects of me come in? I want to say that's looking at things very limiting, because we all are able to be in 10,000 places and no place at all. And more than likely, most definitely, you're walking on other dimensions, having other experiences at the same time you're having this earthly experience. And I have kind of a joke, you know, in the morning when I open one eye first and I say, oh, I'm at Earth. And then I open the second eye and I say, oh, I don't see any ships. I better get a cup of coffee, you know. It's going to be another long day. And so all we can do is in each now moment be the best ourselves we can be and be the most conscientious. And what I don't tell people enough about my own experience of remembering is, and I don't condone this to anybody out there, but I would go to work and I would pull up a tab about everything that was ever written about Ashtar or Arcturus, and I would do my work quick. I would quick do my work, do a phone call on the computer. Then I would switch to that tab and I would read. And I would be talking to Ashtar all throughout the day, just in my mind, and I didn't always get an answer back, but I was constantly thinking about the Galactic Federation. And I would walk in the bathroom, you know, and I would have a minute to myself, and I'd start talking to them again. And I would drive home in my car, and I would talk to them the whole time I was in the car. And then I would get, you know, after I did my family responsibilities, the banking, the grocery shopping, the making the watching the TV and the helping with the homework, I would get as quick as I could, finish my day, get into my room where I could read again and talk to them again. And I did this around the clock for years. All the archangels, all the ones in the Galactic Federation. Then I met Mark Huber, and he made the suggestion that maybe I would be able to talk to King of Swords. Well, I talked to Sananda telepathically, and no one had ever told me about the King of Swords. So I said, oh, well, let's start talking to him, see what happens. In other words, I guess I'm just reminding everybody that my only true happiness in my reality was to talk to the unseen ones, and I did it around the clock, 20 hours a day, and I was obsessed with doing it. The more you do it, the more you come into touch with this multidimensional being that you are.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, me driving around, talking to these folks a mile a minute, and I'll just tell you that, you know, I get the weirdest looks, and, you know, I'm talking to somebody in the passenger seat, and more than once, Tom the Cat has shown up, as well as Mother, as well as the King of Swords in a holographic image, and I've had cops pull up behind me, take a second look, and then do a right turn or a left turn, and they don't say a word to me. And it's like, I know they're turning white as sheets because this is happening. The interdimensional beings are right here. And whatever they told you when you were a kid about your invisible friends, know that they are here. This is part of the elemental kingdom, earth, air, fire, water, and ether. This is where the dolphins and the whales sing their songs to these beings that come from space. That has to do part with the gold dust that comes in, that it's filtered down through the star fields throughout the galaxy, the gold dust. I'm just saying it is part of the particles that keep everything moving within the dimensional reality. That's the super glue that holds it together. And I'll shut up now.
Well, I want to add to that story and say, you know, every day, unless it's pouring rain, no matter what the weather, it could be nighttime, I go out for 5 or 7 miles and I take a long, fast walk. And I'll be walking along in the middle of the day, and I'll be talking to 3 different people. I'll be talking to Mother, Ashtar, and King of Swords, and I'll be using my hands to emphasize what I'm saying, and sometimes I'll double over because I'm laughing so hard. And eventually I forget that I'm talking to the unseen, and I look around and I say, uh-oh, I'm supposed to be walking. But it really looks like a crazy person talking to other people. And sometimes I'll be hanging out with my family, and I'll make a loud sigh, and the kids will look at me, and I'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I was just hearing something from someone. And I've been telling them since they were so yeah, and I've been telling them since they were just little, you know, can you be quiet because I'm talking to the angels and I can't hear what they're saying. And I've been saying that to them for so many years that they don't question me anymore. Well, they just nod, you know? They just nod when I say, when I sigh loudly, I go, oh.
Hello?
They look at me. Oh, I was just talking to someone else. Sorry.
I'm going to clear the line. Thank you very much for everything. Love you guys.
Thank you, Alma. I just want everyone to know that you don't even have to hear replies back right away. It's okay to stand there and talk to Lord Michael all day long and tell him what's on your mind. They do hear you. And eventually, if you do it enough, you'll hear answers back from them.
This is what Cynthia says. Believe it. Imagine it. And it becomes real.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I talk to them when I'm washing the dishes. I talk to them when I carry out the trash. I talk to them when I'm sitting in the bathtub. Anytime that I'm not with other people, I'm talking to them.
Oh, my gosh. And also, I just wanted to add a couple of things because, you know, for instance, we were talking about the difference between Beth walking into the human body of another being that was, you might say singing to the song of the soul, and the song of the soul left. And so it left behind the body, and it left behind the trauma, and it left behind the experiences, and it left behind good and bad, and it left behind the personality through which we all exist in this dimension. And
Tara, we just have to add one thing.
Yeah.
The memory gets completely swiped.
Yeah, it's like you...
The memory got completely swiped with one exception.
It's in the cells. It's in the cells of the body.
Yeah.
Right.
And I could remember how to be a nurse, and that's all. I could remember no more.
I'll just tell you what. That precludes the fact that in order for you to be a nurse, you would have to get the education to make you be a nurse, which includes the entire lifespan of your education in this existing system. Includes your religious education, your economic education, your spiritual education, your emotional education, your socializing education, your everything.
It's not just
being a nurse in the physical world. That's all there is according to this way that we're living in this economic world. In other words, they consider everything their natural resource, including you, and everything has to be according to the program that they make you into, that they want you to believe that's all there is. So you came in with a fresh start.
Yes.
You had everything that was expected of anybody that was on the planet right now, being a cog in that machine wheel, and then you came in with the fresh start of having yourself being able not to have a timeline differential at all and walk into that program without a veil, with the full programming in your face, and the knowledge of all the records of your lifetimes before and since in the same moment. That 5 years old is very unique.
One time, right after I walked in, I went to a medical conference for brain injured, and I talked to a trauma doctor, and I said, I bumped my head, and I was unconscious for 3 days, and I have no long-term memory. I can't remember anything before my injury. And he said, well, is that a bad thing? And I said, no. And he said, don't worry about it. And I was fine after that.
Well, that was a pretty brief explanation, although now that you're filling in the blanks with knowledge that's infinite, yet which has been limited by the interpretation, the personality, ego of the previous soul, embodiment, lifestyle, that is still that which you volunteered to do, is to meet those limits and stretch them,
mm-hmm.
and to demonstrate how to do that. In a sense, that's the big question, isn't it? You know, it goes back to the Star Trek TV series where Data was being discussed by the Admiral in a court case at the New Jerusalem, Starfleet.
Central.
Yeah.
And they were considering taking him apart to figure out what makes him tick. in order to create more of him. And he had to testify that as a sentient life form, he had rights.
And that he had to prove that. He had to approve it, and he said, no, thank you. And the captain, Captain Picard, had to defend that. And boy, if that wasn't, you know, Shakespeare, Sir Francis Bacon, and Saint Germain all rolled up in one in the way he handled that. And I have to tell you, that's the only one of all these Star Trek things. That is the only one that was physically templating us as life is in the galactic realms, as life is on the New Jerusalem. These are the things that particular grouping of series was afforded. And Patrick Stewart ain't no slouch. This guy knows who Ashtar is, knows who Sunanda is, knows who Barack Obama is, knows it all. And
he knows who Taran Rama is.
Yes, and the veneer of fame, it just dissolves when we understand that was the propaganda that was making money for something they wanted to just use. They wanted to use the creativity in Hollywood, yet they didn't want to take it too far. You know, you could do sci-fi and all of that. And Steven Spielberg has been bought like crazy in terms of certain things, yet they made a ton of money by him putting his filming on. That TV series, though, that TV series about Allie, what was that called again? Taken. I mean, if you want to expand on what he was showing everybody, is he was basically saying, hey, everybody, you've all been taken. How far down the rabbit hole do you need to go to find out that you've been taken for a ride on a dog and pony show ride and a half, which will come back home to roost as you are willing? And then, you know, you are required to embrace the meaning of that. When you say, will I am, when you have the name William, will I am, and that is a mantra, and that word, will I am, in the beginning was the word, and the word was made flesh. The first power is by defining your will, by speaking it. And this reminds me of a morning call we had, Beth. What are we doing here? Just yapping and yapping and yapping and just talking. Just talking.
Well, my point was, I was saying, let's just fast forward to love, because that's the whole answer.
Well, the answer of fast forward is the same thing as going backwards or staying in the center. It's all love.
But the truth is, what you said earlier, you have to integrate love with wisdom. That's where Katumi and Saint Germain and all those others come in. And the wisdom is remembering the history.
Wisdom is the divine feminine active equally within a masculine world. And that measure is the blue ray. And the blue ray is being able to receive the love first and foremost. And the deal is that why we're yapping here is we are basically talking our way into being able to receive. And that is the first law of love. Because wisdom is wise domain. Wise domain must be based in that which we have faith in and wish to call our form of exchange of love, our exchange of service to the one.
Yep.
That form has to change. And that form, we are the formless equal to that which has been in form. And in the formed world of the now, we are becoming. We are becoming.
In other words, we are defining ourselves by the act of becoming. And it does not mean that we weren't whole when we started. It just meant that on the timeline, we were embracing a limited view. And now, with this rebalancing act, where the divine feminine, that which is redefining by yapping and coming to agreement together. Yapping, even in the words to this song. Oh, I'm just going to read them just to talk about this.
Just let me jump in and say what it's about and what you're saying and what you told me on the phone is, it's not an individual thing. We have to remember as a collective consciousness.
Absolutely. And
that's what all the yapping is about.
And that's where eternal patience exists.
I'm working on it.
And I have my Pisces moon in the fifth house, the house of change. So what am I doing here? We're looking at it appears that, you know, my work is to implement change and to do it in a Piscean moon manner. And tomorrow, I think Pisces comes in, doesn't it? On that new moon? Yeah, in Pisces, which means that we come up and I remember Richard saying this, new imagination of the humanitarian vision, creating that new imagination. Imagine all the people living in the world of peace.
Yes.
That's why we're yapping. I'm mad as hell and I ain't going to take it anymore. And we're in, if you want to put this economic little pattern of 777 LGN, love, gratitude, and nourishment onto this, which we speak of, we would be using that pattern, that 777 equally, love equally with gratitude, whereby gratitude is four-fifths of love, whereby nourishment comes. And that would be how we would be doing a cooperation, where what we would do is use our new imagination now of how we are going to expand upon humanitarian vision for peace and peacemaking.
Tara, I'm really glad you brought that up. Marita, are you there now?
Yes, I am. I just unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes, okay. Marita, will you say more about this program now, please?
Well, I'm not sure how many of the people that are on here have already heard us talk about LGN prosperity. It is a way that we can cooperate and help each other. It is a pretty simple plan. It is called a 2x2 matrix, and all that means is that you are invited to join, and when you do, you bring two people with you and help those two you bring get to. That causes you to cycle. That means that you have put in $299, and what comes back out when you cycle is $777. But that's only the beginning of it. You are automatically put back in to cycle again, and there's no charge for you being put back in. So it is a way for us to truly help each other. Remember, when you share it with people, you bring those two, and then you help those two get to. Because if you just bring your two in and sit there, maybe they don't know what to do or how to do. So it's cooperation again here in helping each other to understand what works. The major thing that's different in this system from some of the others that some of you may have been involved with before is that in this, the way this
Marita, I just want to say there's some kind of a muffling overtone on your voice. Is there a way to clear that up a little bit?
Well, let me see if I can turn. Is this any better?
Yeah, that's better. Thank you. There's a balancing of the tone. Yes.
Okay. All I did was turn the volume up.
Okay. Oh, there we go. There we go.
Okay, the major thing that's different in this system is that when there's an empty position, someone that maybe hasn't yet met their responsibility, instead of the system getting solved, someone above or below you automatically is placed in that spot, and that's how we help each other. It doesn't relieve you of your responsibility. It just means that it doesn't allow it to get stalled so that everyone can cycle and do it again. There are several other benefits to this program, and whether you choose to take advantage of these, it doesn't even matter. But there are many audio seminars that
we lost. We lost you.
Okay, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, back up and say that last sentence again. You went bye-bye.
Okay. There's many other benefits to this LGN Prosperity Program. With your enrollment, you have free access to many audio seminars, personal development, e-books, website design software, marketing training and software for the Internet, and then you have your own website where all of these products that are given to you free of charge, the website is set up so that you can sell those and you get to keep 100% of the profits except for your credit card expense that, you know, in taking credit cards from people. So those kinds of things are there for your own use if you choose. And then there are many travel vouchers that are worth thousands of dollars as well. This all comes with the one-time lifetime investment of $299. You aren't required to purchase anything every month or every year or activate yourself again. It's one time, $299. Invite two people to do that with you and help those two get there too, and you receive $777 back and you're plugged back into the matrix. So that's as simple as I can make it, and if you you would like to have some of that written out so you can see it in print. Some of you are visual. I know hear it better that way than the auditory people probably get it, but some of the visuals may not. So I will send you something until we can get our website up in print if you would like, and that's stargatemarita@gmail.com. So ask questions, call in 415-762-1161. If you have other questions about it, we'll try to answer them this afternoon.
Okay, Marita, Robert, may I add something of my own to this? And I will definitely. It's just been impossible while we've been doing these calls to complete what I want to say. Yet after this call, that's what we will be doing first and foremost, so that we will have everything up on the board there. And this process is coming at a time when these other programs that we have been getting into for the last 5-6 years that have fallen apparently to the, you know, the eternal, it's coming yet it never comes. And now there are many coming back now, and the activation process of debit cards are being requested by people. And these are monies that are definitely ready to be brought into the paying out process. And they're being done at the same time as the arrests are planned to begin here for doing 9/11. And you can already see that Rumsfeld, a really ex-OSS Nazi, let's get this straight, you know, he and his father, et cetera, all Nazis, and part and parcel of 100,000 Nazis being brought to this country with the Vatican covering it up, meaning the Vatican and Nazism are one and the same, and the dogma of the Vatican are one and the same. And the multi-level marketing process is one and the same with their dogma, where the CEOs of the multi-level marketings were making 3/4 of the money. And then the example of what they do with it is they feed it back into the war machine, and they make profits from that. And that's what Amway actually started off, and the whole multi-marketing industry, even if health food products were brought into it, even with anything that we might think was good for us were brought into it, the structuring of it and the ability for people to make a large sum of money and then just drop it and run away has been pretty much the nature of the guaranteed way in which we have been. You see, now we took something from this as we could continue to persuade ourselves to understand that we could do something about our helping each other with consciousness by taking these models and figuring out a way with our intelligent mind to bypass them and to make something that they were limiting us to have a good use. And a lot of entrepreneurial people who had been successful in whatever multi-level marketing schemata they have been able to and made a lot of money, a lot of them got together with the wealthy visionaries and they said, well, let's start doing some spiritual writing. And in this one you can see little tabs of it because there are books that are being written and they're in the form of ebooks. That's about the only product I really am attracted to. I don't know much about computers, so I don't know, and I'm not into selling, so that part of it wouldn't be my interest yet. Everybody getting an opportunity to read some of these ebooks, which have a spiritual understanding of the wisdom, how to change within our thinking, and shift our thinking into a collective heart realm process. Remember, we keep saying thinking with our hearts. Well, somehow, because these guys now are out of our hair, multi-level marketing limitations in this program have made a breakthrough, and it's not small. I wanted to point that out. Marita was saying, this doesn't slow down. The difference between the pyramid multi-level marketing scheme is that it stops unless you keep bringing more people. And then they bring in a bunch of people. And, you know, as these people run out of time, money, and air to breathe, and they lose perseverance, well, tough titty said the kitty when the milk went dry. The thing is that the CEO thing, they still made their money off of the situations that came up in a person's life, and there was no provision for helping them. This is just the way the change now implicates how huge this is. We just got through having a discussion that, you know, why isn't this just ready to happen? I know everything. How come you haven't read that book and all that stuff that Beth was just saying can be running around in our minds when we're looking at this and going, holy cow, every breath that we take, another child is dying at the hands of violence somewhere. And yet we have to take our time. We must go slowly. We must see the nuance of what this is. Because what this is it took the sales out of competition and it put it into cooperation. And we said, what is for the highest good of all concern in a collective effort to bring cash flow on a regular basis without it taking up the pursuit of competitive, time-consuming repetitiveness and just becoming a cog in the wheel of the race to the topness for whatever reason? I mean, a lot of people would be taking something and it would be a health product that they were selling, yet the consciousness of competition and the race to the top and what's fair in love and war is fair and that kind of thing, too. That is taken out of this completely. And, yes.
I apologize for interrupting you. There's something I have to jump in and say that's timely, please.
Sure.
I want everyone to know who's listening, who's on the Galactic Roundtable chat, who send me emails and are very friendly to me, that, you know, when you're out in the public chat, I'm seeing everything that you're saying. There are ones right now, Tara, on the chat who actually come on your call and share things on your call that are saying that what you're talking about right now is not the truth. I've also received emails from folks saying, you know, all this that you're talking about is a Ponzi scheme. And Tara and Rama can verify, I have gone to them 4 times, and I've said, I don't want to get involved in anything unless I know it's absolutely true. And we ran that email up the flagpole to the powers that be, and they said it's all legitimate. And if anyone out there has the guts to take the risk and try this, it will bring you the abundance that you've all been looking for. You guys are saying that this is Amway, it's Nazism, it's all kinds of stuff. If I just scroll back through the chat, I know who you are, I know what you're saying, and, you know, I was calling Tara and Rama this morning saying, why am I showing up to talk again? You know why? Because nobody's reading, nobody's taking personal responsibility to be integrity themselves, nobody's taking personal responsibility to take this higher and be love. My role is to get the word out there. I've opened up the chat. I have banned people from chat for dissing folks that were in the group because it was unfair. And all I have to do is get the word out there any way I can. I don't have to have chat on the site. I'll just pull the chat. I know you guys like talking to each other, but it's not necessary for it to be there. In the blink of an eye, I can just push a button and we'll have everything on the site, but no chat. Because if you guys are going to sit there all through the calls, putting each other down and putting out the bad word the whole time, and let me watch everything you're saying, it's not cool. And what this Galactic Roundtable is all about is a challenge to become more of the higher being that you are and to integrate the monad on your walk back to ascension again. And to remember as a collective consciousness that we are to be love. And the ones who I trust and who have had good friendships with me are sitting there mumbling on the chat in such a disrespectful manner that it's canceling out anything I ever do. Go ahead, Tara.
Okay, well, let's just put it this way. Mathematics are mathematics.
Right.
And
goodness,
the power of...
Wait, Tara. I think Rama... I just want to see if Rama has something to add to that.
Yes, honey.
I just want to say I can read the chats, too. And I challenge anyone to go and do what I've done and look the black ops in the eye and live.
Well, that's not really what that person's mission may not be that way.
Correct. And that, what I'm trying to say is I have put my life on the line to share the message
that doesn't
about
mean that,
love.
That doesn't mean that. I want to say this because I'm feeling that there's resentment coming out somewhere.
Where that and, is coming.
Okay, now, no matter what it is, praise it.
Yes.
Respect it right now. Thank it and love it, because we take responsibility for what all of us are holding that way, including loving every person who feels resentment and is putting it out right now on the board and feeling like just I'm mad as hell and I have this resentment and it sounds like you guys are just a scam. And just praise it. Respect it.
thank it, and love it. The bottom line is whatever we agree to collectively is. And this is really the demise of a group who are using a chat line to collectively be the demise of this kind of discourse, because when one is harmed this way,
all are harmed.
All are harmed this way. And even saying, I dare you, in a sense, to take my challenge, that's not coming from any kind of peacemaking. Hello?
Sorry, Tara.
Oh.
That was me.
Okay, my goodness. You sounded like you were doing flips or something. No. This is really where the pedal meets the metal. And when we come to this end of this game, there is no midpoint other than compromise. And in the past, compromise has been a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no compromising. Now, there's a difference when you use the word properly. Compromise means hearing out everybody's gripe.
Tara.
Yeah.
Speaking of compromise, you know, when we're talking on the call, everybody's chatting about, you know, everything we're saying is wrong, and then I pop onto the chat and everyone's like, hi Beth, how are you? As if I wasn't scrolled up and read the whole last hour of the chat. That's, it's no skin off of my nose. I'm just saying it's time for us to wake up and be loved. And I don't know how many different ways to say that. And I don't even know if having the chat on there is even healthy for everybody. Just pull the chat, because the conversations at this moment are ridiculous.
Rama, you started to say something. What was it you were going to add to this while ago, and you didn't get to finish?
Yes, what I was going to add.
Oh, Rama was saying something, and he didn't get to finish. Could we have him finish his thoughts about this?
Okay, Rama.
Sure. What I would like to say about this is that as we are a community of living light, living love, that's moving into other realms and touching other circles of living light, living love, it is in the understanding that you have to take a quantum leap and take your disbelief, put it in your back pocket, and put it away. Put it on the shelf. Just leave it alone. Take a quantum leap into the realm of what you may not understand or even comprehend and trust. At that place, then miracles can happen.
It's called where two or more are gathered. In love and community.
Whatever experience you may have had in the past with whatever situation, whether it was monetary or physical or spiritual or mental or...
Well, what was said 30 years ago, and actually 36 years ago, going on 37 now for me, when I met with the wealthy visionaries and the children of the wealthy families who did not want to continue on the Armageddon path that they were inheriting the gold from their families, their 13 families. They wanted to take that gold and not just forget it and put it on the shelf. They wanted to bust the plan of their parents 100%. Their parents killed a ton, hundreds of their own children who were on that Flight 800 in 1996. Those children took the risk anyway in the face of the possibility of being killed by their parents, and they were. And in addition, remember that when one is lost, it brings more to their senses. Gandhi did that. Martin Luther King did that. John Fitzgerald Kennedy Sr. did that. Malcolm X did that. Bobby Kennedy Sr. did that. George Carlin did that. And even though he's not dead, John Kennedy Sr.'s not dead. Even though Michael Jackson's not dead, it has moved us forward so that the law of love can prevail on this earth.
And I will just say, this is about taking a quantum leap of faith. And whatever your thoughts are, put them aside and take a message from Mother. You know, walk on the wild side, walk on the water, and walk on the air. And,
there's nobody else out there.
And understand what is being said here is it has to do with what the King of Swords has said, that 777 is not a Ponzi scam. This is about the healing of all of the stories going on and the healing of the monetary issues, where something can work in a new way that hasn't worked before. And the Bush-Clinton crime family do not have their claws in this. They never will.
We have someone here that's wanting to call in. Beth, did you see them?
Oh, I didn't see them.
Craig.
Hi, Craig.
Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me? I'm on Skype, so it's kind of funny sometimes.
I can hear you, Craig.
That's wonderful. I love our topic today because it is our topic.
Good.
And our topic is all of us. I'm in full agreement with everything you guys bring forward. All the dissenters are only the ones that have not awakened to their true purpose. Send me the information. I don't have a lot of money, but I can scrape up $300, okay?
I hear you, Craig. I said the same thing. I said, I don't have a lot of money, but I can scrape up $300, and I took the risk. And I'll tell you, this whole thing is...
Okay, hey, Beth, let me help you out. Let me help you guys out. You guys talk well, okay? I love listening to you, but let me let others hear what I have to say for just a second.
Sorry, Craig, you're right. Go ahead.
They need to step out of the box, okay? There's a difference between thinking and knowing. I know this is right, okay? I believe in everything you guys are doing, and praise God that we are all on this radio at the same time.
I do.
He might
There's the warrior. There's your Peshat, Rama. I stand right next to you. Continue.
Kapla.
Got it.
He asked, Craig, you asked us to send you some information.
And Big Will and anybody else that hears this voice, let it be known. I know I'm a commander. I don't think about it. I know. I've been listening to you guys since you came on the radio. And I love everything that you do. I question nothing that you do. I love all the memory that you bring forward. It is about remembering. And these people need to really pay attention to it and quit playing childish games. This is like a little kid's game that we're all still playing. Let's just step into our spiritual maturity and take a leap of faith. Come up with $300 and see what happens.
Hey.
You know. Craig, you asked us to send you some information about how to get to the website.
Sweetheart, I'll have to get to you. Is that right?
You can email me.
Craig, grtprosper.com.
Okay, that's all I'll do. I'm waiting for you to enter a site where I can go and fill out documents, whatever.
I'll have it up there tonight. grtprosper.com. That's all you need to know. And I thank you. Thank you for your words.
You guys, I would ask you, because we have lots of time here, connect with me. See who I am. I know who you are. You see, these people don't know these things. They think they know something. They do. They're not in the knowing.
What's okay? your email, dude?
Craig?
So back, head to head, hand to hand, heart to heart.
You both.
You're fading out, Craig.
You were fading out, Craig. You got to start over. Craig?
What is your email?
I think he's lost now.
Okay.
Is Craig gone?
Yeah.
Okay. What I want to just add here is that you guys on the chat, my feelings aren't hurt when I see you guys putting that on the chat. It's just a chat. It shows me a challenge that we haven't gotten there yet. And I can't move forward with anything until I get the word out about all of this and the collective consciousness rises up to love. And Craig's right. These are just childish games and they're not worth anyone's time. And I just want to move forward. I'm not saying these things because I feel bad or because I want people to believe what I'm saying is true. It's not about that. This is being laid out for two reasons. Number one, it's a gift and it's true and it works. And number two, it's a spiritual test to see, you know, Craig is saying, I believe you, and it's not because you said it. It's because I can feel that it's true. And so I guess my point is, if it's not working for you, if it's not singing to you, if it doesn't make your heart light up, don't sweat it. No big deal. But that doesn't mean you go on the chat and say that it's a Ponzi scheme and talk amongst yourselves and then and say, you know, five or six or seven people are chiming in. And these are people who call in on the calls and bring information to the calls. These are supposedly friends. And everybody says that it's Nazism and it's Amway and it's this, that, and the other thing. That's not hurting my feelings. That's just, it's just like, if you don't buy into it, that's cool. But as soon as you go on the chat and you talk about it that way, it's not cool. And then when I pop in on the chat and you're like, Beth, hi, how are you? I mean, that's just two-faced. And that's cool. If that's where you're at, that's fine. We're going to keep doing healing and keep being love.
This totally surprises me that people can be in this and be listening to all of this, and it's almost like we say give lip service but not heart service.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that this is going on. It seems so inconsistent with what we've been learning and practicing for such a long time here for this to be happening. So as Beth says, you know, if it doesn't, like Craig says, I don't think it, I know it's right. If it's right for you, fine. If it's not, just let it go and let it be. It's your loss, it's not ours. And I choose to know what you're gaining or what you feel you're gaining because you aren't gaining anything. So just stay in love and listen from your heart and make the choice based on what's right for you. We're not asking you to make a choice for anyone else. You're not responsible for them. You're responsible for your own actions. So I'm going to mute out here, and if you have questions, you can email me, and I'll try to answer them. StargateMarita@gmail.com.
Marita, thank you so much for sharing that information again today.
You're welcome. I'll see you shortly.
I want to add, you know, just to finish up the talk about the chat, I love all of you. I'm not judging you. I'm asking you what actions are you bringing forward right now, and why are we even having these discussions if you guys are going to trash each other on the chat? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, you know, there is this resistance that's in the air from the astrology. I'm going to say that right now. And it's very, very powerful, because it's patience that's being challenged. And another part of the Mott, the principles of Lady Master Mott are involved here, because one of the things that is being talked about is control of the emotions. And you cannot channel light unless you know that the emotions are something that is your responsibility to be in control of, that they're there for your highest good and everyone else, to be used in service to the whole. Therefore, I was at this one point in terms of how this process of the Law of Seven is being implemented. The Law of Seven is a way to go into perpetuity. Perpetuity is a place of balance where the flow is not interrupted. And the flow that is not interrupted has to do with something very important. It has to do with your principles. It was just like I said, we were watching a special about the healthcare stuff. And he said, the buck stops here. This is the only country on earth that uses their healthcare system for pure profit. It cannot be that way. It's immoral. It must include everyone. And that chat board must include everyone getting this. The everyone in terms of responsibility for health care is every individual soul has full responsibility for caring for the health of that physical body. No excuses at this time. We've had every excuse in the world as to why we are sick. The reason that anyone is sick is not because of germs. That germ theory was thrown out the window a million years ago. A weak immune system, now that would cause dysfunctionality as an art form in the body. And your endocrine system is 80%, along with your digestion, of the immune system. And digestion means that we preclude that you're putting the right thing in your mouth to digest. You're putting the right thing into your understanding to digest, your emotional body. You're putting the right thing into your mind in terms of what you think about. And you're putting everything into it that is what you do about it, which means when you are on that chat board, you're doing something about what? Are you doing something about collectively staying in control of all these bodies that are not you? You're not your physical body. You're not your emotional body. You're not your mental body. You are only pure spirit, having a human experience with all these other bodies added onto you, with all the gifts that they give. That's why love, gratitude is four-fifths of love. Are you demonstrating, and when you're communicating on the chat board, are you demonstrating your gratitude? And it has to be four-fifths of what you put into your love quotient. These things are very, very serious misnomers that we can choose to justify polarity at this time. Polarity is no longer in the time-space continuum.
really and truly. Free will choice still exists, yet it falls under the category of evolution. And in the process of ascension on the evolutionary path of the whole human race, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it is really the many who need to represent that they represent, not the few. So the many on the chat board that are out of balance with what I just said, please praise, respect, thank, and love yourself for realizing that that is out of balance right now. The law of balance is the Mother Sekhmet's law. She is the light and dark mother for that reason. Okay, Patrice from Arizona, line 3.
Greetings, everyone. I honor everything you're saying, and I understand what a challenge it is to walk your talk. I also know that this is one of the few sites I've ever known, and God guides me well, that gives actual tools to use when the buttons are being pushed. We have the tools to use to walk our talk. The other thing I wanted to share is one gift that Jesus gave us when he left our beloved planet for a while is the spirit of truth. If somebody's having difficulty wondering about something or wanting to know the truth of it, tune into the spirit of truth. That's why we have goosebumps. That's why we have the thrill, or if you're sensitive, you can feel the spirit of truth move through you, so you know what the truth is. That's what the gift is. And connecting to that is one of the blessed gifts that we could use in this situation, in all situations. So we have that tool as well. And if I may, on a different little subject, I want to share a little miracle that's going on in my life, and I want to thank Marita Roberts for this miracle.
Cool.
And that is that she turned us on to Michael King, if you remember that conversation. And I went to the website, and you'll have to forgive me, I feel very emotional, but I went to the website and I took a leap of faith and I bought the liquid gold and the silica clay, and I took my mother's ancient seeds that she and I inherited, and I sprayed the liquid gold on these ancient seeds. We're talking 10, 20-year-old seeds. And I did what they said to do. And do you know that these seeds are sprouting?
Excellent.
And this is a miracle, because seeds usually die in a year, two, 3 years. And so thank you, Marita, for turning me on to the pyroclay.com project. It's really working, and I am having a great experience with it, with my organic garden and my orchard. So
beautiful.
That's all I wanted to say. I thank you so much for everything. You guys are blessed. I really appreciate everything you're saying, and I understand it because I do use the spirit of truth. So there you have it.
Love you, Patrice. Thank you for sharing that. Much appreciated.
Thank you,
Patrice, so much for sharing that, in the sense that now we can really see about things, about when one is harmed, all are harmed, when one is helped, all are helped. And Michael King is taking the time to share this particular program with us. And he says, I never do this stuff. I never do this stuff. He said, this is the first time I saw that there was a different frequency involved. There was a different vibration. The people involved were spiritually minded and in their hearts. That really matters. The other thing that matters is that in the past, in the multi-level marketing rules, they would not allow this kind of thing. Literally, we actually did not get to do this
work in terms of using a proponent which reintroduces us without adding onto us another burden to make more money by having to pay more money every time. Now, that is humongous because that means it duplicates the process exactly. Once you have had a thought and you implement it the first time, it's the beginning of a pattern for a new universe. So when you are hanging on to old thoughts of how the multi-level marketing scheme would peter out, and even playing with the mathematics is not the idea either, because this becomes an infinite perpetual motion of spiritualizing matter through the law of seven. That law of seven can only be received by you when you're willing, number one, will I am. And then the number two is surrender. Surrender to the highest good of all concerned, that you might understand how you can be used for that highest good of all concerned, and let it go. Keep it simple. Now you've employed not only the knowledge, you've employed the faith in taking action which will produce a wise domain in your life on all levels with that application of that knowledge. That's why we have in the seven basic chakra system in our physical bodies, there are seven levels to every one of those chakras to graduate and integrate, which is 49 levels of awareness, of simplicity, of the Peshat warrior goddess, mother energy. And 9 plus 4, or 49, 4 plus 9, means you bring the mother energy into balance with your actions. It's called segment number 13. Lady Master.
Sarah.
Sarah from Arkansas. Sarah, your line is noisy, I heard, yet we can't hear you at all at the moment. Are you there? Sarah, line one, A1, okay. The number is 415-762-1161.
Lady Aquifia, are you there? Sarah, we will come back to you when you call back, dear. Your line was too loud.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, how are you today?
Hi. I have a quick question for the three of you.
Thank you.
Yesterday you received a call from a woman that said she was making an apology from the Illuminati. What is your take on that? Thank you. I passed the talking stick.
Is this Sarah?
No, this is
Lady
Aquifia. Sarah's going to call back on a quieter line.
Okay, Aquifia. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Beth.
Aquifia, dear, repeat your question, please.
Yes. Yesterday on your show with BBS, you had gotten a call from a woman who professed she was giving an apology from she was a representative of the Illuminati. What is your take on that?
Oh, it was such a great blessing. It was a salve on the heart. It means that the collective consciousness is changing. It means that people are feeling the love.
That's right, and I have to say,
I want to correct.
I have.
Wait a minute. I want to correct.
Tara, wait. I want to hear what Rama says first, then you.
I just want to correct what was said about this. She did not say she was a member of the Illuminati. She said her bloodline was aligned with the 13 families. There's a big difference. I wanted to correct that statement.
Oh, thank you, Tara.
Okay, go ahead.
And I just wanted to say, as a representative of this culture that comes from Nibiru, Naboo, that I honor the fact that this being came forward to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you, because it goes on down the line, like Dr. Valentine said, it's like a virus, and the DNA changes, and we come back to love. All the android soldiers are waking up and going back to love.
You have to understand we're all part of these 13 families eventually. In other words, you go back far enough and we're all part of the same 13 families.
Yep.
The thing is that her particular family that she's come through this time, there's money still involved. And then there's requirements involved of her if she wants to inherit that money. And those requirements are amoral. There's no morals involved. You continue to be a cog in the wheel of the killing machine. And that is not what she chose to do.
Right.
And she's not only chose not to do that, she chose to learn how it really is. This is the choice now. The chatter in our brains is the chatter of the past. The past is gone. The choice is to create a new world. And the only new world that's being created is being done together now. No more ruling families in terms of them holding the wealth of the world. That's already done. Every penny is gone. They have no money. All they've been doing is pretending and playing Monopoly with fake money as long as they can get away with it. And threatening us, and when something good comes along, making sure that we are still stuck in our rage and our anger and our distrust and our all of our isms, and racism covers all of the isms. It doesn't matter your prejudice against this, that, or the other because of the programming until you're not, until you really have surrendered. And the only thing different is that the opportunity to surrender to it is available now, and this program is providing the option to live in that surrender without competitive worlds. And to live it, you must first change your thoughts. And energy always follows thought. And when you speak thoughts or you write words, watch what you're doing. Because the programming right now of the old thought forms are ending. And when you identify yourself with those negative patterns are not allowed in this new creative imagination factory, you might say. We are a collective, and we have a factory, and we have something called an imagination factory, where we're going to be creating new things, actually things, thoughts are things. And so the new things have to do with the way we're going to structure our light cities, literally. And we're dismantling the old things, square teeth thinking. You know, did anybody ever call you a square when you're a kid? You know, because you won't play on the wild side and walk on the edge and maybe even take a few drugs. You square. All of a sudden it was cool to be square and not be part of the bad boy consciousness. Well, I'm sorry. Square is good for some things. Yet, and the square is good for structure. And Saturn squared, for instance, would be a structure in the astrology where if Saturn is squaring your sun, for instance, you know, there's this famous old saying, don't rain on my parade. Well, Saturn will rain on anybody's parade as they put you into the square box. And then we must find our way out of the box. The way we find our way out of the box is not by running out and away.
so high you can't get over it, so low you cannot get under it, so wide you cannot get around it. You have to go in through the door. And the door that we're talking about is the door of thinking with your heart. And when you think with your heart, you reset the program. And you reset it to a sphere. You jump out of the box and you reset it to the sphere. May the circle be unbroken. And you bring yourself into the equality of right living with the divine feminine leading the way. The holy grail of the heart. Sarah?
Hi.
Good to hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, how are you? Good to hear you.
I'm in an elevator right now, and my battery's going to die on me probably before I get done saying what I want to say. But, however, I wanted to go back to the 777 thing, and I want to emphasize, I too know the knowing, and I have in my life spent 14 months of a leap of faith, literally, where I had no idea, no hope for anything coming my way. And I didn't know where my rent was going to come from or my next food. And if this went on every month for 14 months. And I know that when you take a leap of faith and you step out there and your heart is lined up with the truth, you are not going to fail. And the magic in the numbers of 777 are basically really the trigger, the grabber that says, this is the one, this is the good one. And I am so excited about it, and I'm trying desperately to get hooked onto it, and I'm having trouble doing it. Technical difficulties on my end, I'm sure. But I need to speak with somebody in private, and I tried to call Marita yesterday and never got reconnected. But I'll keep trying, and I am even so excited about it. And I don't have a lot of money either because I just took a giant leap of faith, and I quit my job, and I am going to be basically retired from now until when something happens, and I'm doing this intentionally because it takes the intention. It takes the lack of fear to step out there and make it happen. It is not going to happen by itself. We are the ones we are waiting for. And if somebody doesn't start doing it, it isn't going to happen. So there are a few of us out there who have the guts and who have some experience with the knowing. And I believe we are the few that are going to be the first ones to take that scary leap, because we've been through so much already that there is no fear left. And for those who still have a little fear or don't understand it, I'm here to say this is how it's done. I've done it before, not to this magnitude. I think the first time was just a trial run for this mission right now. And I live and breathe for this mission. And I have not really had a chance to talk to any of you on the panel, so to speak. I've visited a little bit with some people on the chat, but not much. And a couple of forums I've found to be really, really helpful. And I just want to say that everything that Beth and Tara and Rama and Marita Robert, all of you are doing just a fantastic job. And I just admire so much that you always keep it in the positive and keep it in love. And I think that is just remarkable. And I want everybody that is within earshot to understand how dramatic and how important that 777 is. I got a flash. I get visual flashes every now and then when something really big hits. And I got a flash that said, you know, this is a little sort of portal. This is a three-dimensional, realistic way that Saint Germain could actually say, here, have some money. It has to go somewhere, and it has to come in somewhere. Why not this way? And I don't have a doubt in my mind that this is what it will take. And it may not be the permanent solution, but it is a start, and it is a step between here and there. And it is going to keep the road, the show on the road, and it will make it happen. And I just wanted to express, because I felt it so strongly, and I really do appreciate all that you do. And I'm going to pass the talking stick.
Sarah,
and I'd like to stay on and listen, but I think that my battery's probably going to die. And before I can get back to hear what you guys have to say, I probably will miss it because I'm wandering around at work trying to hide in a private place before my battery dies. So anyway, my last day at work is in 3 days, and nobody here knows that I've done that, so I'm trying to hide. So anyway, I just wanted to let everybody know that I am so behind all of it. My heart is right there with you, and I love you all so very much. And you just keep doing what you're doing because you're doing it great. And I will get off now and try to redial back into the call so I can hear. So you guys keep it going, and I love you all. Bye.
Love you, Sarah. Thank you for your kind words.
I also wanted to add right here that this little idea of people, even who cannot and have no availability to a $300, yet you may have availability of $100 or $150, and you can team up with another person that's in that shape. And then you can join and, you know, defer to one person receiving that cycling money, and then agree to take that cycling money and take whatever it is for the other person. Take 300 if there's just two of you. Take 300 out of the profits and put that second person in, and then split the profits that's left. And you can do that with three people too. Now you've got the rest of the responsibility, and everybody can bring in six. And then this is absolutely not happened before. That once that manifests, you are placed in another place in the matrix where six more can show up, and they don't have to be you. You don't have to do another thing, and you continue to cycle. That is called perpetuity. And even at that, if there's two people, let's just say if there's two people or even three people that did it this way, and then finally they made it to the place where everybody cycled, each time a person who started off with the 100 and joined with two others cycled when they got down the road, every single one of those people can find three more of their friends that are in that difficulty and donate $300. And it's perpetuity, everyone. That means when you take an action that's based in cooperation and it's not based in accumulation of wealth, who needs that? What you need is to have wealth flowing so that the whole can whistle while they work and bring the garden back. This is not the same. And that one piece is something in the heart chakra that means to go, aha, I get it.
Tara?
Yeah.
I think that Chandra Das is here.
Okay, Sarah, thank you. I love you. And Chandra Das, I love you too. We can't hear you.
Keep trying, Chandra Das, because we can't hear you yet.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hello? Uh-oh. I heard a click. Okay, Chandra Das, 415-762. 1161.
Sorry, Chandra Das, if we took too long to answer you, but call back if you'd like.
Yes, and I think we might be in for some music. What do you think?
That's a wonderful idea. Do you have some queued up?
Oh, yes, I do. Let's listen to this, really.
Okay. Is it just music?
No, it's singing. It's the Celtic Woman group.
Okay, and you do that, and then I'm going to do one after you. You do one, and I'm going to do one.
All right, it's a deal. Here you go, everybody. You want to know about love? Let the love flow into your veins when you listen to this beautiful sound here. All right, here we go. Oh, yeah, just a minute. Here we go.
Come stop you crying, it'll be all right. Just take my hand, hold it tight. I will protect you from all around you. I will be here, don't you cry. For so small, you seem so strong. My arms will hold you, keep you safe and warm. The bond between us cannot be broken. I will be here, don't you cry. Cause you've been my heart. Yes, you've been my heart. From this day on, now and forever.
Okay. Okay, I hope that helps shake up the tonal.
That was beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for that song.
Okay. Now, if you're going to play something, I just wanted to say, I hope we can figure it out how it doesn't sound tinny. I don't know why, but the last time it sounded tinny.
Oh, probably because I had a really bad recording that time. So hopefully it's not. And if it is, you can text it to me and I'll stop it.
Okay, Lady Master.
This is a song that I play about 90 times a day. And even though it's rap music, I can say all the words while they're doing it, which is it's kind of pathetic and my children roll their eyes. And, and Tara plays pretty songs about love and I play badass songs about love. So here we go.
Thank you for letting me play that. We have two people waiting to talk to us.
But wait a minute, Beth. I just only heard much. I didn't hear much of the words. Something about practicing what you preach, even though war is going on. What else did it say?
It says, whatever happened to humanity, whatever happened to unity, why are we dropping bombs on everybody? Why is everybody making wrong decisions and we're dropping bombs? Because the truth has gotten swept under the love, because if you don't have truth, then you're never going to know love. Where is the truth? Where is the love? And when it says, Father, 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 give us some guidance from above, I always think of Alcyone. And I can, in real time, rap this song, and sometimes I yell this song because it asks, where is the love? And it says, some people have me questioning, where is the love? And this song calms me down when I get freaked out about the news.
Very cool. It is. Music is very magical, everybody. And again, you know, there's a lot of rhythm in that music, and get out on the dance floor, Gary. Get out in your living room and dance. I mean, dance. It's time to dance. I love you. Thank you. Well, I think we got Philip from Virginia on the line.
Hello.
Hi, Philip.
Thank you for waiting.
Hey, hello. Haven't spoken directly to you in quite a while, and your the numbers you had changed, so I couldn't call directly. I just thought I would pop in for a minute and say hello. And you know, you inferred the power of the sphere earlier in the conversation, and I thought I'd just bring you up to date on what's happening here at Trinity Point. And as you know, there is that heart resonance sphere form, that thought form. You know, that emanates from the center here, the triangle at Trinity Point, and that's a spherical form.
Philip? Oh, dear. Okay, Philip, you got to call back. 415-762-1161. And when you come back, Philip, explain a little more, because you're kind of new to the rest of the people that have, you go back far enough that maybe people want to hear a little more about your land. Okay, let's take Big Will while we're waiting.
Hello, Tara, Rama, and Beth.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hi.
Good. Well, listen, Beth, I want to thank you for that wonderful rap, Where's the Love? I think that's so very important right now, because a lot of us are really searching and hopeful to get an answer, and love is truly the answer. My next, I have a question concerning about the moon of Saturn called Titus, and I want to know, what is the ramification of Titus, and how does Titus fit in our sphere? I pass the talking stick.
Rama?
I don't exactly know.
Rama doesn't exactly know about Titus, so you're going to have to explain if there's more to know about Titus. Big Will.
So I understand Titus has the same makeup, almost the same makeup as Earth. And I was just wondering, are there any life there on Titus? I pass the talking stick.
Oh, okay. Well, there's life on lots of moons off of Jupiter and Saturn and Rama?
Yeah, there is life there.
Well, can you come in here and explain a little more about, is that where the Titans come from?
It could very well be. And
do you know, the Titans, aren't they a giant group?
They were the people that were Zeus
and Kronos and
Zeus and Kronos were Titans.
Well, Kronos was Zeus's father. This goes into the Greek stories of how the Elohim, the Nephilim, the Anunnaki, mated with the sons and daughters of man.
So you're saying that it's a good possibility that this group came,
have
a moon, are one of the, they, that's one of their places where they keep their ships and stuff?
Titan is one of the moons.
Of Saturn.
Either Saturn or...
I think Big Will said it was Saturn. Is that right, Big Will?
That is correct, Tara.
Yeah, and these blonde giants come from Titan. They are about 12 to 4 feet, 14 feet tall, and they're part of the Anunnaki Nephilim or Nephilim. Not all of them were bad. Get that one. It is about the few that caused the problems, called Enki and Lil, Nin Herzog, Ea, you know, all of the legends and the stories are connected.
And Saturn...
Yes, and I understand that these ones will be coming to visit us too as well when it's time for the mass landing.
Yes. And all of these beings are coming back to wholeness, balance, and love. That's the biggest story. And it's already happening. All the android soldiers are having to put down their technology of death and embrace love. It's the only way we go home.
Rama?
Yes.
Help me remember, when I was on Saturn and I was getting a tour, I remember going into a domed building and inside were all of the gods on the wall. But I think they were there. What am I remembering?
You were remembering one of the domes that we come and have conferences in that have to do with solar and galactic law. When that particular dome, it's all the images of all of the legendary beings.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go and take a look, Thor is up there, and Loki, and Odin, and Zeus, and Hera, his wife. She's also known as, I can't remember. The different Greek and Roman names are interchangeable with all the gods, and it has to do with the original story of the Nephilim, the Anunnaki, Elohim, as we come back to balance and wholeness. Goliath, remember the story? David and Goliath, King David. Goliath was one of the Anunnaki warlords. And, I mean, he was a warrior, and David took him out. He took him with a slingshot, no less. But I kind of wonder if it was a hand phaser, you know. I mean, the stories got construed. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. I do have one more question, if you don't mind.
Okay, go ahead, Big Will.
Okay, my second question is this here. At the time of the announcement, will we be able to ask questions as the announcement persists? For example, if more or less like almost like a town hall like situation.
Oh. I doubt that's the first thing they're going to do. The first thing they're going to do are they're going to have people. I mean, for instance, Howard Zinn was scheduled to be up on that stage. Now he's not here. And that's why I know that they messed with him. Yet, Noam Chomsky is still here. trucking down the road, and he did get compromised, yet he made it. And Amy Goodman's going to be on there, and I don't know who else. Katrina Vandenhoel. There's going to be very important media people, very important free speech people, very important whistleblowers on intelligence people, and you're going to be quiet, and we're all going to sit down. And we're not going to be asking any questions. We're going to be getting answers. And they're going to take actions that we haven't seen before in the history of mankind.
I'm queued up and ready for that, Tara.
Right. And and it's going to be up to us chickens to answer questions if we are. And why do you think Tom Hartman's on free speech? And I think what's going to happen is they're going to take Fox News right out. And wouldn't that be nice if they put free speech TV right in its place?
Yeah. Hey, Tara, we have Monica waiting on the
line. And get everything else. And I can't see why not. That's what's happening.
And
they're giving the money back to the people.
And Warren Buffett and Rupert Murdoch are going to be hung along with the rest for war crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And keeping us prisoners in a mind game all these years.
It couldn't be worse. It couldn't be worse.
It's what we're undoing right now by joining together and yapping all day long.
And remember, the worst thing anyone can do, it's the worst sin, is get in another person's way on their way home back to love. And that means the littlest complaint or snarky reports or any kind of negativity is equally getting in the way on the way of another person's way home. No excuses.
Right.
Not one negative process is going on here. When you get negative feelings, you praise them and you thank them and you respect them. And you love them. That is all you do. And you keep doing it until you get the lesson that beautiful, praiseworthy, respectworthy, thanksworthy, and loveworthy negative emotion is about. That's the only thing you do with them. Be gone, Satan. That's the way.
Tara?
Yeah.
Monica's been waiting a few minutes, I think.
Monica?
Yeah. Monica,
Hi. There you are.
Hi, it's Monica in Half Moon Bay. You know that song, Beth, that rap song that you played?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the Black Eyed Peas?
You got it, sister. One of my
All right. Well, thanks for passing the peas. Thank you. It was kind of hard to hear, but I know that I could tell that was the Black Eyed Peas.
It's time for peas. It's always time for peas.
That's right. That's a, that was excuse my language, but that song was badass. And you know what? The Black Eyed Peas have that other song about the twin flames, which I know because you posted it, which is another really cool song from the Black Eyed Peas.
If for you guys who don't know, the song she's talking about, Fergie dresses up like an elven fairy laying in the forest of the magical realm, and her twin flame Will.i.am is out on Pluto in this desolate planet, and he's dressed in a gold lamé space garb, and they're both looking for their twin flame, and they're talking about how much they want to be with their twin flames, and then Will.i.am opens a portal on Pluto, and he walks through the portal. And Fergie opens a portal in the magical kingdom, and they walk together in the tunnel, and the twin flames reunite inside the portal. It's such a cool video.
Yes, it is. It is. It's very cool. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you for passing the peas.
Thank you, Monica. Now everybody
Good afternoon.
Knows my secret. John Lennon and the peas. That's about wraps it up for me.
Oh, God.
I have a lot of diversity in my musical choices.
By the way, I just thought I'd add, oops, we got a little echo. Yodelay, hee-hoo. Hello? Hello? Echo, echo. Little Sir Echo, how do you do? Okay. This is just a little card that I got a whole bunch of in the mail from someone, and it's called Meet Out Mondays. And it's on the other side, it says, why meet out? It says, for yourself. Kicking the meat habit will reduce your risk of heart disease, stroke, cancer, and other chronic diseases that disable and then kill 1.3 million Americans every single solitary year.
Oh, Tari, you know what?
What?
We have that here in the Midwest, but we do it on Fridays, and we call it Lent.
Okay, it will lower your risk of food poisoning by salmonella, campylobacter, and other deadly pathogens, including mad cow disease. It will also raise your energy level, lower your food bill, and simplify your food preparation. For your children, kicking the meat habit will help preserve topsoil, water, and other food production resources that are vital to the survival of your children and their children. For the hungry, kicking the meat habit will free up the grains, the beans, and other foods now fed to animals for the world's population of hungry people. For the earth, kicking the meat habit will help preserve our forests, our wetlands, and other wildlife habits and reduce pollution of waterways by animal waste and cropland runoff. That's right, pig farms, 100,000 pigs in one pig farm. They produce 10 times more fecal matter per day. In other words, a pig farm with 100,000 pigs up every day produces as if there were a million people's waste every day. And it goes into the waterways, everyone. And it has completely polluted the entire waterway systems of all of South Carolina, 100% polluted, including the ocean front. And all of the fish have the diseases that are produced by that animal waste in them, too. Be very careful, because the fish in the stores in any place in Georgia or Florida, for that matter, or North Carolina, even in the health food stores, if they're coming from those waterways, they have a sickness in them. I'm sorry to say, and it's true. For the animals, kicking the meat habit will save innocent, sentient animals from crowding, deprivation, drugging, mutilation, and inhumane slaughter. How many reasons do we need to stop the meat? That's pretty many reasons, everyone. Thought I'd just pass that on. And that goes for eating things that are tamasic, because and rajasic. In other words, meat, rajasic food is cooked food. And tamasic food is fried food. And eating the meat, whether it's cooked or fried, is eating a dead thing. And it's causing a dead blind spot in your consciousness when you do it as well. In other words, you're stepping into the living dead realms, literally. We were never supposed to eat meat ever. Not ever. The blood types that they say that it's okay for them to eat meat, what that was, it was an adjustment that occurred, an adaption, you might say, that occurred when there were no more things to eat.
And that happened when we destroyed the central nervous system of the planet, and it caused the lines of communication in nature to be broken, and the ability for us to survive. So what happened in the adaption process is that we increased by adaption the hydrochloric acid in the stomach, and that was going to break down even wood. I'm telling you that even if we ate dirt, the increase of the hydrochloric acid was going to break it down so that we could get through that period. Not for permanence. Temporary. Very temporary. So eating meat is really out of the question in terms of morals now. Morality steps in. And why do we have all these sick people? Because eating meat causes death due to every disease known to man, period. And there's a reason for that, because it's against moral, ethical living. It has nothing to do with living inside moral, ethical living.
Tara.
Yeah.
There's something else people never talk about, and that is that about the frankenfoods and that the animals are clones.
Oh, yes. A cow isn't a cow anymore on the planet.
They do not have the DNA of the meat of the old days that we know.
No, not at all.
No, that's where the disease comes from, too.
That's right. Yes.
And the bad oils.
And the very bad fats that get into the body. When you cook the fat in the meat, what ends up, it can't get out of the body, and it forms around all the organs, and it suffocates the organs and stops all oxygen from getting into the organs. And it does the same thing in the blood. The blood fats, cholesterol that get in the blood from eating meat, they suffocate the blood. And there are something else that's called lectins. When you're eating something that is not fit for human consumption, it forms lectins and it goes into the bloodstream and it agglutinates the blood, which means it causes the blood cells to stick together, which means it suffocates the whole of all the blood cells sticking together, and then the blood dies. And then you've got dead tissue. And it goes down into the small intestines, and it adds pollution to your liver and your gallbladder. And then you die again, because when you pollute the liver, it accumulates in there, and it accumulates around the valves where the fluids that are getting into the liver or the digestive materials that are getting in there to be purified, it clogs it up until it can't get in there anymore. Then all that stuff backs up in your blood and goes back into your organs all over your body and causes death. And there's no way out but in. The actual true thing right now is to end this silliness altogether and come back to love. Hello?
Tara, you know what I would like very much to do now?
Yes.
We have an hour left, and I want to do sister.
You want to do who?
Rama knows what I'm saying.
You want to do this, sister.
Oh, sister.
Sister Mira.
The age of Aquarius, cosmic royal bloodline. We certainly won't complete it. I think it's quite long, yet we could start it.
I would love that.
Okay.
I want to make a, I need to say something before we go on to something else. I have been thinking about this for the last couple of hours,
and I took it inside and digested it, and I'm making an executive decision, and I am removing the chat from the site for a short period of time. We are going to take a break from it, and I invite all on the chat to take the quiet time and go inside and do the work and bring it higher. Thank you for your understanding. And please continue to submit the things that you want to share with each other from love on the forum, on the blog, and on the spiritual services areas. And we'll keep sharing with each other. But all this low vibration chat's got to take a break for a little while. Thank you.
I concur.
So I'm pulling it now. Okay, I'm ready for Sista.
Here we go.
Here we go.
And come on over. The chat room is open.
Man, yeah, start over. Start over, honey.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
That's a little low.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
And come on over. The chat room is open. We're about to get ourselves settled and get ready to get into the show. There is some special announcements that I will be making for the whole Remix family here. But as we get ready to get into the show here, because we have a lot of things that we do need to cover this evening as it relates to you, as it relates to me, and as it relates to all of us collectively, we're going to be talking about the oneness. And we will be talking about the four elements of the royal family right here live this evening with Sister Myra on the Remix. Now, for those of you out there also listening, know that the call-in number for the Remix is 646-652-2711. And so you either can call in to listen, or you're free to call in and to share your comments or questions. I want to give a very, very special shout out tonight, this evening, to Mark, who is the brother on YouTube that puts up all the videos for Bobby Hemet, Panic, Brother Panic, myself, and all the shows, and lots of the other hosts and their shows, passing on the message of consciousness everywhere he goes. I'll be able to give out his YouTube channel a little later on in the show, but he is on YouTube, and want to give him a big shout out because he listens in all the way from Japan, and we're going to get started now. Before we get started, we are going to play a little bit so we can start to get ourselves, you know, a little bit in the mood for what we're about to sort of experience here tonight. Now, I'll be playing a poetry piece from one of the Remix very own, Osmosis. Osmosis the poet, and this is called Constellation. So sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Constellations. What am I? Am I a purpose drawn or a purpose spawned as a vagabond? Woman as a woman of these sports with hands and pockets and shades and braids, her eyes like a box prepared to have a child. Futuristically, I see the answers to cancer about 3 by 5 thoughts of my life. I stay concerned as a project of Area 51, confiscated by Uncle Sam and desperation to come to the years to keep my family. Or fight the wars of the streets between the airy spheres to comfort rain sheets and Gemini's tears cast down who gives aid to lightning. Burst of pain, grain through sharp shears through the shallow blood stains of tears. Where have I been? Stargazing and amazing things displaying the heavenly bodies of bliss. Concepts in Genesis, these consensus and revelations swallowed in the abyss of promises, guilt trips. Who am I? Where do I exist? In the midst of astrology telling me that on the distance of the planet, sun, and moon, and earth, sky, that I'm a bison that sits high in your sky. Where do I come from? When I dropped off by slave ships or placed in our spaceships to harvest this planet we take for granted. Social security numbers evolve with the economy as astrology configures 365 days of my lifetime, multiplied by 40 years of my lifeline. Wondering where do I align the skies, Milky Way galaxies drift beyond me. Vacuum in my soul into the skies and spell like screaming. Constellations, I need you to feed me. Show me where I need to be. I keep asking these questions from deep within reflecting about who I might be. Am I a leader? or followers. A prophet of poetry or a peddler selling sins for popularity. A mom who needs to exploit the sins of men, women, and children seeking addiction on earthly lives, sky washing away in earth again. Or is it a matter of time before they are swallowed whole by their earthly sins? Will I put here to seek salvation or Solomon tears or the devil's temptations? Do I? Timepiece somewhere in time, the night sky, the genius, the reticence, the feet on falling for Venus, trailing drip drops of trail, the seeming curve of males on Mars, shooting stars, and aspirations. To think the difference between us as she swells, crossing text on my chromosomes at 9 months accuracy that spell hidden mythological tales that give details about humanitarian inhabitants around me. Stars connect, but neglect to tell me what my need is here by the writings of your little moon, and if I'm here to fulfill that purpose soon. Speak during the chains of shifts, during the seasons, accumulating wisdom by the speed of your moons. What are you trying to tell me that I need to know before I succumb? Or is it a discretion of death's balance sheet to keep this world stable that it shifts tables to lever scale systematically, mathematically, climatically? I try telepathically to communicate with your body, your stars through satellite dishes, sending messages through Pisces fishes with liquid eyes so wide as they swim by in nearby open skies. I try reading them as the solar system orbits by. Conversing with him and I swim about why she cries. Sagittarius, I must take that Aquarius try to drown me. Leo try to devour me and Capricorn try to stab me with the swords because I ask them what I am and where am I from? You, please help me. Discover me? Answer me. Do I have an unearthly name or is it pronounced the same as the one I have earthly gained? Am I a gift from heaven here to speak to the people? Teach the people? Or just be amongst the people? I've met so many life forms that are intelligent yet still irrelevant and negligent to the truth. I'm not sure if I should speak unconsciously, writing poetry rather than as I did with crowns as a youth. Drooling on silver moons through a deciduous tooth, or should I speak silently, leaving nests described on bathroom walls and bone boots? I mean, I just caught Scorpio who stung me with her tail so unholy. She has painted me with lust so the virgin Virgos could seduce me and drain everything bestowed to me. So I asked God to show me. He just told me. Heavenly through telescope yokes and light the path of darkness with the brightness that refracts off the moon parallel to moons in my head. Actually enlightening me spiritually. Share these pieces of me. Remember, why even exist? Or is this a dream that drifts outside my body? Where do I come from? Am I an earthly or a mystery placed in someone else's body? Constellations and astrologers telling me no answers to try to help solve me. So through poetry, I give all of me. Open that all constellations of astrology will accept all of me. Constellation, are you accepting all of me? Help me find me. Constellations of astrology.
That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. That's right, constellations, astrology, all of those things. That piece that you were just listening to was by Osmosis, the poet. You can Google him. He's everywhere and doing some wonderful work out there in the poetry scene. And also one of the very first poets to write here on the remix and a family member as well. So for those of you out there listening, we're going to go ahead and get ready to bring Sister Myra on the show so that we can begin the show. We'll do a short introduction after she comes on to let you know a little bit about what she has to say about the month of September, something put together, very special gift that we will give her this evening from the beach.
What's going on, honey?
Oh, just making sure.
Number two?
Number two.
Okay.
It's coming along.
Wow. So for those of you out there listening, we're going to go ahead and get ready to bring Sister Myra on the show so that we can begin the show. We'll do a short introduction after she comes on to let you know a little bit about what she has to say about the month of September, something put together, very special gift that we will give her this evening from the Remix family. So for those of you out there listening, listen up. We're about to get ready to get started on the show, and we're going to bring Sister Myra live with us now. Greetings.
Greetings. Greetings to you. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. How are you?
I am wonderful. It is an honor to have you join us here in the Remix this evening so we can begin to talk about spirituality, begin to talk about constellations and astrology and all of that great stuff. So I will allow you to sort of give a brief introduction of yourself. We have something put together. But just so you can give a welcome to everyone out there, both seeing and unseen, that's listening from all over the world.
Beautiful. I just want to thank you for inviting me to share on the Remix with you and your wonderful listening audience. And I am shouting out from Greensboro, North Carolina, and a special love to Ogun Ojuri, who made this connection possible, in harmony with Ogun O. Thank you both. You have made me feel so honored, all of you.
Oh, beautiful. Yes, yes, yes. Well, what we're going to do right now is we're actually going to go ahead and play, and you can kind of let the listeners know a little bit about what they'll be listening to. It's from your MySpace blog, and it's sort of a little bit of your writings that you do each month. And so we have the month of September that will be playing. So if there's something you want to share with them about that before we play it, you can go right ahead.
Oh, okay. This is the prelude into the Libra energy, because that is the energy of the month, as you said, with the sun focusing through the constellation of Libra. That is wherever you see the sun at, that is the focus of energy from the universe. So right now, we have that focusing through the Libra constellation, and so you're about to play something that is going to identify that energy.
All right, beautiful.
This was done on October 1st, 2009. That's why they're talking like that.
Yeah. Here it is. All right.
Greetings, everyone. This is a message from Sister Myra's MySpace blog for the month of September. Libra is the sign that we'll be covering today. Libra, the energy of the individual Christ regenerated. Libra is the seventh sign of the zodiac, with Venus as its planetary ruler. Its opposite sign is Aries, and it represents the cardinal air sign of the zodiac. Being the cardinal air sign, Libra represents the father energy of the royal family. We will be incorporating four elements of the royal black cosmic family. The sun. Now above the Earth's horizon is in its spiritual domain, which requires a combination of energy to fit the spiritual profile. Venus, as Libra's planetary ruler, as an Earth element in a combination with an air element. The air and the Earth represent the father and the daughter influence, with the sun in Libra. Gives dominance to the father, just as the cardinal earth sign of Capricorn, with the planetary influence of Saturn, which is the father, will emphasize the daughter dominance, yet the father's influence. Libra's domain of rulership includes Libra, air, Scorpio, water, and Sagittarius, fire. Libra allows equal partnership with the physical form, the daughter, and the individual spirit, the father. This brings us to an individual Christhood as we become equal in the balance physically with our spirit. Once we've reached the individual wholeness in Libra, we can now begin to bond with others also in harmony with their spirits, activating a collective transformation, which then crosses us over to what the Mayans call the great collective place, into the place of fulfillment and empowerment through the last fire or power sign of Sagittarius. This is symbolic of a song, the collective power of the black man, resurrection from the sun into the Father's spirit. Aries represents the personal power of the sun in his passion to protect and defend the value of the royal god family. Now, the sun in his passion, which is fire, to protect and defend the value which will represent the daughter of the royal god family, Mars. This completes the overall balance of the harmonization of the father with the son in redemption of the mama through the upliftment of the daughter. This is the formula indicating as the individual in the image of God, which is very holistic. May the spirit of the power redeem the character of unconditional family love. Sister Myra, check her out, everyone.
Yeah. The remix and the remixradio.com is proud to present to you Sister Myra. Sister Myra is a four-time disciple, messenger, and warrior on the metaphysical and spiritual battlefield. She has conducted seminars, workshops, and lectures on ancient mysticism to make it comprehensible and practical from a material/physical perspective. Sister Myra is a qualified self-taught astrologer, incorporating many ancient spiritual tools, including numerology, the general system, total connection, dream interpretation, and countless of other methods for accepting higher frequencies of consciousness. She is a disciple in the study of astrological energy through her guidance from a holistic, universal perspective. So we invite you to join us here tonight, live on the remix, as we interview the goddess, the sister, Myra, will be always giving to you raw, right here in the remix.
I don't know what to say. That is so fantastic. Well, we are certainly glad that you are pleased with that. Well, yeah, it's so fitting for you as well. So let's start out, Sister Myra, and talk about from the beginning, from the point of beginning, what actually is astrology?
Astrology is actually the study of energy. As you said, it's about the constellations. And at the time we were born, you know, if someone was to take a snapshot of the universe at that exact moment, where were all the planets sitting? What constellations were they sitting in to converge together to make your internal energy or your spiritual energy who you are? So it's a combination of those planets. We have an internal universe as well as the external universe. The external universe is actually a reflection of our collective energy, you see, of what is going on from within us.
Right. And so how did these studies, because there's so many studies that are out there, these original science of the heaven and the cosmos, how can this benefit the African mind and soul? What's the benefit for us?
Well, the benefit is actually what I'm here to talk about, because it's all about the royal god family, which is the black melanated family. Mm-hmm. It's all about energy, you see, and how that energy is coming together and harmonizing to reflect who we are in the people.
Whoops.
Part 3.
Oh, okay.
how that energy is coming together and harmonizing to reflect who we are individually. As they say, as above, so below. And it all begins with the great black cosmic mama, you see.
And they're and showing the black mama.
Mama only means beginning, where everything began. And everything began from blackness. All colors come from blackness. So the original blackness of beginning is really the term for mama. And so our being, us being melanated beings, you see, this gives us the ability to harmonize energy. And in order to create, you have to balance the spirit with the soul. The European has the spirit, which is represented through the earth, represented through the air and fire elements. So the air is mental, and this is where he come up with his mastery in manipulating knowledge or information or the mind to create the illusion. Mm-hmm. And then the fire is power, which is what he has abused mm-hmm. on an external reality.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look at the earth and the water, which represents the feminine half of this whole, and the whole is what God means, whole. So we have to look at a full royal family of energy, not just the father and son. In the infinite balance of the universe, if there's a father, there has to be a mother. And if there's a son, there has to be a daughter. That is the internal hidden aspect. But it all began with the mama, or the mother energy, which begins in blackness. So it equates to the melanated ones, giving us the rulership or the royalty when it comes to activating and energizing power.
Right. Right. And so with that being said, and we'll talk about the four elements a little bit more. I know that's going to be a lot of what you share with us this evening. And you talked about the air and the fire.
Yes.
Let's talk about the difference of just starting with some of the basics, the constellations, the 13 constellations, and how does that actually differ from African astrology or Egyptian astrology and Western astrology? And how we place those things, because they have the elements as well, too, in the Western astrology, correct?
Oh, absolutely. They most certainly do. And my forte is about the study of energy. So it's not so much a comparison of the astrological system, you see. I usually supersede that and go directly to those elements and how it identifies our holistic purpose as a God family. Yes, they do use the elements because it's really all about how energy interacts through the modes and through the elements. And this is how we read what is unfolding through the energy. So that is a part of astrology.
Right.
And the different types are just giving you different perspectives. Not
right.
Really wrong, you see. It's
right.
Just giving you
right.
a different perspective.
Right. So when it comes to understanding about the 12 zodiac signs versus the 13, talk a little bit about that and what's the difference. What is the 13?
Well, the 13th, right now they're saying there is a 13th zodiac, and we're connecting this to the Scorpio energy. It is, because it is connected to the serpent, you see,
mm-hmm.
and it's just all about a new development collectively. As I was saying, mm-hmm. our individual, what we vibrate at individually as it becomes a collective, this is how it manifests itself into a new reality. So if we're going to connect that with Scorpio, the serpent, then it's saying that this is the energy of transformation when you're dealing with Scorpio energy. So this is the time of transformation. And so as we all begin to vibrate and start our transformation process, which means the death of the old and a rebirth of the new at a higher level, this is how we are collectively energizing and manifesting this zodiac, which is being called the 13th zodiac to symbolize that energy of transformation to the new age.
Right. And is there any difference according to how you do your particular readings or how you do your chart versus what we may know? For instance, I was born in the month of January. According to the astrology, let's just say in the Western world, I am an Aquarian. Would there be anything different with what you use, the tools that you use?
No. Matter of fact, I do use the Western style. I to look at your energy, and that's just what it is. It's just a tool to look at your energy. And so the difference will come in the analyzation or the interpretation, what it means, what the influence means. And here is where I call myself a holistic. So what I'm bringing that is new to the table in comparison is I'm giving you a holistic perspective. I'm no longer... we cannot do the piecemeal anymore. In other words, we have to now look at halves or balance and opposites. That is the ultimate, way, to create. That is the formula for creation. And so, now I'm going to, expose the bigger picture or the larger story and put it in to harmony with the individual aspect, which represents each individual in their energy and how they contribute their energy or their universal energy to the larger purpose. So bring in balance, as above, so below, the spiritual realm versus in harmony with the physical realm, connecting the two and showing you the holistic picture, rather than we've been ritualized in the Western mentality. So we're only seeing the whole. And as long as we're seeing part of the whole, we're only seeing the illusion. So this is what I'm trying to bring to the table by identifying and defining the Royal God family. I want you to see the wholeness of how this energy comes together to represent the God family, because God only means whole, you see. So you get the highest view through those four elements. You can get no higher than viewing that energy or that God family through the four elements. Now, anything prior to identifying this perspective is all going to fit into one of those four quarters of that astrological circle. It's going to either fall. I don't care what deity you name. I don't care what God you name. I don't care what myth you talk about, you know, it's all going to find a spot in one of those four sections, you see. So we can begin to understand the roles and how those four components come together to create the whole. It's just like, I always tell my clients, it's just like the four pistons of an engine, you see. All four of those pistons have to be firing at their max in order to harmonize with each other and create the engine or create the power or generate the power. And this is what we need to understand. We have all those aspects within us. And in order to step into our godhood, our empowerment, we have to step into our wholeness. That means when I have need to protect, I have need to be the avenging spirit through information and knowledge, then I take on the father role. As I have need to nurture my family, to, you know, to cleanse and purify and protect the purity of the value of my family, then I step into the mama's domain. When I have the need to activate power through my passions, my creativity, for protection, then I will step into the son's role. And when I have need to manifest and to bring value and character and the worthiness of the process, then I will step into my daughter role. So that we have all, you know, that is the formula for creation, when you have all of those components operating in harmony that is the song.
Okay, Chandra Das.
Yes, hello.
Greetings.
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 You folks ready for a bug hunt?
Yes, we're ready, Commander. I think so. Yes.
All right, here we go.
Is that okay with you, Beth?
I would absolutely love it.
Okay, Beth.
Love you, Chandra.
Radiant One, all you commanders, eagles, and angels, may we enter into the cavern of the heart, where divine love resides, and may we send it out to our troubled world, on the 12-inch journey, from head to heart, why don't we start? On the 12-inch journey, from head to heart, why don't we start? Oh! On the 12-inch journey, from head to heart, why don't we start? Let us radiate the truth, radiate the light of life. Never shall we denounce anyone, never entertain negativity.
Chandra Das, thank you. Wow.
Yes, thank you. Sat Nam.
You're welcome.
Would you honor us with another one, please?
Certainly, certainly.
Thank you.
This one is for Shiva, the dancing Shiva, Tandavaya, the one who dances the five elements into creation, earth, water, air, fire, and spirit.
Jai Shiva!
I receive the love. Thank you.
Shivaya, Parameshwaraya, Chandrasekaraya, Namo Om. Shivaya, Parameshwaraya, Chandrasekaraya, Namo Om.
Bye. by a lot of this that I just to see that I Baba ya ura sabalaya shivatandalaya nama o Baba ya ura sabalaya shivatandalaya nama o Namah Shivaya. Hey, if I go to to sign up under one of the three that are on that the GRT site, the GRT Prosper, GRT Prosper. Now, who is the most advantageous person to sign up under for you guys?
That's a really good question, Chandra Das. It works is all three accounts. All of the accounts are linked together, so it doesn't matter who you sign up under, because it benefits.
Does it mean I'm your twin flame if I signed up under you, Beth? Am I your twin flame if I sign up under you?
Okay, I want to say something to this, because remember, wherever you start, you don't end up there at all. The first time you cycle, you get moved somewhere else, either above or below, all over the place, wherever you're needed, which means that you're not going to be in the same network even.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, this is really breaking that competition thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It benefits the whole as we do this consciously to do that. And...
Well, I just wanted to do it intelligently to begin with, to decide, you know, if I wanted to help all, benefit all three of you if I can.
Well, one thing to look at is, you know, what Marita's talking about a person signs up and then they get two more. It's after we get six in our own group that we cycle for the first time. So if at this moment in time, it would be nice for Tara and Rama to cycle because, you know, to pay the bills. And
That's what I was thinking.
And if a person wanted to sign up under Marita instead or under me instead, that's all good, too, because Tara and Rama will cycle from that as well because we're tied together. So it all works. There's, you know.
And let's put it this way on the other end. Remember, there's another way to recycle and help everybody. Like I was suggesting earlier, especially even though some people think it's okay to scare up $300, yes, yet it might need to have three people scare $300 up. And so that's another way of helping everybody. And then once you get those three people signed up, and everybody's moving, then you take... You know, you tithe. You can tithe. And you can put someone under somebody else the next time and tithe the money for them. You see, we cross-pollinate that way. It just keeps going. We keep looking at the value of what's under everything that's moving, and wherever we want to help move it, we do it. And we are a collective mind now, so we really do call on that collective mind. And then we get straight from the hip. This is what you do next. Beth says, you know, she just gets told, this is what you're going to focus on. Become Washita. Everything.
Yeah, hey, Beth, you and I should go out and sell encyclopedias door to door for a while. That way we don't have to worry about they say what they say in the chat room.
That sounds good.
That's the one thing about sales, you know, you have to be able to handle the rejection, you know. You just keep smiling, you know.
Well, it's not about that exactly.
I understand where you're coming from. Loyalty, but that's the nature of sales when you get that rejection or whatever.
Well, let me tell you where my sadness comes from. My sadness comes from knowing that there's babies today dying in Baghdad that get their brains blown out and they end up in the dust. And their mother watches them get killed. And my sadness comes from knowing that women and children are arrested together. And then they sodomize the children in front of their mothers just to torture them. And my sadness comes because we're still at war on every continent that I can think of. And until we raise our collective consciousness together and come back to love, and cut all the pettiness out of our lives 100% because we know about being loved, then things aren't going to change. And it has nothing to do with the chat. It has to do with being our highest good every minute of this now. And that's to honor my brothers, my Pushats, who are out there every single day fighting the good fight and ending all of this. And we have to join together in our hearts. We have to love all of it and release it and be loved, and we will become it and it will become us. And if there's anything I've created that will bring that down, I have to cut it away because it doesn't work for me.
Well, I say, when in doubt, chant Ma.
Yeah, I agree.
Right, Ma.
Indeed. We make sure no child's left behind, and we don't play games with the meaning of that. And include your own inner child. Every time you do something from negativity, you're hurting your inner child beyond your wildest dreams. It always starts with you. Because you are that which you complain about. You're also that which you love about. Which way would you like to look at it? Yeah.
Yeah, we're all the known, the process of knowing and the knower. The knower, and we have to blend all those together so that we know the pure subjectivity and the objects are the subject, and the subject is the object, and the process of knowing the two is all one. Called the Sanghita of knowledge.
And that's what that monkey business story, you know, where you see the three monkeys, one's holding their ear and the other's their eyes and the other their mouth, and it's see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, yet there's a fourth monkey, and the way it actually showed up in the tree spirits, in the Oaxaca tree, in the El Tule tree, is that the other monkey was out farther on the branch chopping wood, literally, on the tree, which means you better not see that. You better not see that monkey idle. Idleness is the devil's worship workshop. That monkey better be getting out there and manifesting what they hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil of. In other words, do not look back. That's where Sarah went bye-bye. She didn't want to give up her pleasure. She did not want to give up sex, drugs, and rock and roll where she was in the valley. And she did not leave that den of iniquity, and she was consumed by her own attachment. That's why they say, gate, gate, para sangate. Parasangate bodhisattva, beyond the beyond, beyond the beyond the beyond. There and only there is the bodhisattva. There and only there is the master of your being.
Yes. Father Sekhmet.
You're going to be in trouble.
Krishna told Arjuna, be without the three gunas.
go beyond the sattva, rajas, and tamas and be established in being and then perform action. And
Tara,
so that non-attachment
is
so
there.
Important.
No,
mother
she's
there?
Not, but I sure wish she was. I'm sorry, Chandradas.
Sorry,
Chandradas. That was
all right.
Me.
I was just checking. Dawn, how are we on time? Don't we have to finish now, dear?
Do we have any little extra time or what? You got to tell us. This one, I want you to put this one.
Okay, we got to wrap it up because on Sundays they follow us.
Okay.
Okay, can I read real quick and play one more song, and then we'll do some more of Our Lady Master here the next time we get together?
You have to either pick read or pick a song. You can't do both.
Okay.
Because of the time.
Okay, what's the song you want to play, Rama?
Lady Smith, Black Mambazo, The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Oh, beautiful.
All yeah, right. Baby. I'm gonna mute out.
Love you, Chandradas. Thank you for coming.
Love you, dear.
Thank you.
Okay, here we go. We love you, everyone.
Love you, everybody.
The family lives close to the jungle. At the end of the day, they all sit together around the fire. They have their supper. And relax and talk a little. The youngest boy becomes afraid. He hears all the sounds of the wild animals in the forest. Cheetahs, wolves, jackals, and lions. He starts crying at the darkness and wild sounds and feeling of fear. Then his mother takes him in her arms and sings to him. The family is always strong together. They protect one another. Grandparents, his father and mother, uncles, aunts, cousins, brothers and sisters, they all join and sing together. Soon he falls asleep. Under the beautiful song fills his ears.
Satnam.
Namaste.
Satnam ji.